Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet dancing able. We're off the bat in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! Hear ye! King Shazir the Terrible! All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
Table. everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazoozradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. If you want to be one of the honorable Knights of the Round Table, it's as simple as a Skype call in. You just add Shazooz as a Skype. There should be a link somewhere on the website. You can just click on that. Man, I gotta catch my breath. I'm tired. Pretty exhausted. So anyway, I posted a link over there in the chat room for a video documentary made back in 2011 called Prophets of Doom. Very interesting documentary. Hold on a second. Full documentary off of the History Channel from 2011. Anyway, I also posted the description of said video down there in the chat room. I'll just go ahead and read it out. It said, today's world has troubles unique to its own time in history, from the global financial crisis to technological meltdowns to a full-scale computerized global war. Observing the convergence of such events, contemporary prophets have begun to emerge from obscurity to suggest that these conditions might be a sign of the demise of modern world. These men are historians as well, using all manners of information and patterns from the past to provide context where we are going. The predictions interpret the current state of affairs in our world as evidence that the America we know may come to an end. The men proposing these ideas are not crackpots living on the streets of New York. They are intelligent, learned men who come armed with evidence to back up their claims. And of course, I put a question mark down there. So, with that said, none of the Knights have showed up so far, so I'll just have to wait until they call. I do have the documentary loaded up here to play kind of live, but it's going to probably be interrupted with a Skype call. Anyway, before I get to that point right there, the reason why I wanted to start the show off with this right here was because I got a pastor that I listen to out there on the internet, out there YouTube, he's kind of a lively character, very interesting to listen to him talk, but one of his videos here recently was urgent, apocalyptic solar winds, 943.7 kilometers a second, Mount Etna erupts. But every one of the videos that he puts out seemed to always have the same doggone thing. Urgent, or breaking, or apocalyptic, or doom, or gloom, or something like that. And so I had to ask the question because, you know, I'm a Christian, and I believe in the Christian faith. And I said in this comment, I said, the prophets of doom said the world is coming to an end, but Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And he also said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So with all that said, the end will get here on God's time, so what people should be doing is fixing in this world what they can, and loving one another and living in faith and peace while leaving that which we cannot control to the Lord who is in control. Jesus also said, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So with that said, must everything be urgent, apocalyptic? Jesus did not say lay down to fear, doom, and gloom. Quite the opposite, actually, and then I put a smiley face. And I got two amens from two separate people, Daniel, Anthony, and Robert, on the comment. But I guess my point was, as much as going on in the world out there, and if you have faith in God and you believe that God has everything under control, then you're not supposed to go through your life panicking and worrying about everything. Of course, it's kind of hard to do. I find myself worrying about a lot of stuff out there in the world because there's things that are happening that lead me to believe that maybe we are living in end times and stuff. And if you listen to the mainstream media or the alternative media, you come across the same conclusion that we got a real big mess going on, the government's being corrupt and crime and drug running and gun running and all this kind of stuff, border problems and world current events and world affairs and all that, possibilities of wars and all that, wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famines, and pestilence, and so on. Same thing that was written in the book of Revelations in the Bible that a lot of people despise. Nonetheless, I'm not going to sit around today and try to argue with people over what the book said or didn't say or had been changed or not changed. The whole thing is, we're bombarded every day. If we're out here looking down the rabbit hole, we're bombarded with prophets of doom telling us that the world is coming to an end, Planet X is coming around to get us, or whatever. And at some point in the game, you gotta step back and ask yourself, because this documentary here was made back in 2011. And I remember all the hype all the way up to the year 2000. The prophets of doom were out there in full force, and they were telling that the whole world was going to come to an end because of a computer glitch. I knew computers back in them days, and I wasn't so worried about the computers as I was the actual attitudes and response of the people if the light so much as blinked. And so, I haven't listened to this entire documentary. I'm going to try to play a little bit of it live here for a bit and maybe stop it here and there and have a little bit of conversation about what's being said in the video, because I want to get to a point here. Hopefully I can.
One thing, change is inevitable. This most ancient truth has been illustrated time and time again, as every great empire, no matter how powerful, eventually falls. In every instance, wise men have predicted their empire's end, but their dire warnings went unheeded. Is it possible that in modern times this may be happening close to home? Could America be headed for catastrophe? There are men among us today who believe a collapse is not only possible, but that it has already begun. Unlike Nostradamus or other bygone prophets, they look not to crystal balls or the stars, but to actual evidence to reinforce their claims. Their visions are of financial instability, oil and water depletion, hostile technology, and terrorist aggression. These men are gathering now to share their visions of the dangers that threaten the American way of life. They look to the lessons of empires past for clues to how we may avoid their fate, for ways we can prevent history from repeating itself so that America does not descend into oblivion like every great empire that has come before. Michael Craig Rupert has long foreseen the impending threats to America. Born in 1951 in Washington, D.C., his family had ties to the CIA, U.S. Air Force, and Army. As a detective for the Los Angeles Police Department, he uncovered a CIA drug trafficking operation in 1977. This led him to found an organization dedicated to exposing government corruption. A political renegade, he has never been afraid to speak his mind, and Rupert is now certain our society is disintegrating from within.
We cannot, as a nation, as a planet, or as a species, continue to live the way we have under the assumptions that we have, because if we do, we are committing suicide. This isn't about environmentalism anymore. This is not a lefty, feel-good, fuzzy, warm, save the whale issue. This is a matter of survival. By this time next year, I'm certain that we won't recognize the United States of America.
Rupert believes that our explosive population growth over the past two centuries is the result of one thing: fossil fuel.
One of the first applications was to create an internal combustion-powered tractor for the purpose of plowing, because you could multiply the number of acres that could be plowed. And then it was discovered that you could make fertilizers out of ammonia, which is produced from natural gas. So it became possible to feed many more people as oil and natural gas began to be used more and more. It is solely the fact of hydrocarbon energy, specifically internal combustion-powered engines, ammonium-based fertilizers made from natural gas, and pesticides made from petroleum that has allowed the human population to expand in just a little over 120, 130 years. In the starkest terms, human population was fairly stable at just under 1.5-2 billion people from the time of Christ until oil was discovered. There was a slight dip for the bubonic plague, a slight increase as the beginnings of the Industrial Revolution came along with steam and with coal. But it was not until the discovery and use of oil that human population skyrocketed. From a simple arithmetic standpoint, if you just look at the numbers, essentially 5 billion too many people are living on this planet today that are not sustainable by any other means.
Okay, so I'm pausing the video there because, well, I guess as a mad science guy, and common sense, it basically hit a nerve. First deal is about the oil out there, and this documentary goes on to say, and you'll probably hear it because I'm going to play it through a little bit at a time, but says that, you know, we're going to run out of oil and the world is overpopulated and this kind of stuff. And, you know, some of the most brilliant minds out there just seem to boggle mine. It's like, I don't understand where they get their thoughts on the matter about the world being overpopulated or about fossil fuels or anything like that being... I don't know. It's just, it aggravates me. It aggravates me to no extent. The world isn't overpopulated. And I don't care how many people quote how many facts that science guys would talk about all the time. These folks that are out there talking about depopulating the world, they're not talking about themselves. They're talking about you and your people. They're talking about either euthanization or... you know, vaccines to basically make people sterile, or, you know, that kind of deal, birth control and anything that they can do to make the world's population go down to what the supposed brilliant people of the world think the population should be. So I'll play a little bit more of this, but yeah, I really get aggravated when I listen to some of it, because this world isn't going to run out of oil. We're going to have the fossil fuel, the so-called fossil fuel. I don't believe it. Dinosaurs made the oil. I know that sounds crazy, but life is a carbon-based organism. And all of life, trees, plants, fish, and animals, and people, you know, when you get recycled back into the system, the system's still producing pressure. It's also producing heat, and the same chemistry that made the oil back then is... basically making it as we speak. So as far as running out of oil, I don't see that being a logical option. But nonetheless, let's hear what they got to say.
As human civilization undergoes this enormous, painful transition, everything that mankind has held sacred is on the table. It's a matter of life and death.
The United States population more than tripled in the 20th century. It is projected to increase yet another 46% by the end of the year 2050. With fossil fuels running out, Rupert does not see how our infrastructure will keep pace.
You know, I think food exemplifies our problem as much as anything else. We have boxed ourselves into a situation where we transport food over enormous distances, where we fail to return nutrients to the topsoil so that it will grow anything else without those chemicals. And if those chemicals that come from oil and natural gas go away, the food goes away. And if the food goes away, people starve. And that...
All right, I got to pause again because, see, look, he's talking about where we fail to put nutrients back in the soil. I know farmers personally, and I know exactly how they do their process. These folks out there that farm these lands, they know that they have to keep that land healthy, otherwise they won't get a decent crop. And not all of them's relying on man-made fertilizers, so to speak. Nothing's really man-made if you look down to the technicalities of the whole deal, but I won't argue that fact either. But these farmers, they know about composting, they know about turning the soil over, they know about rotations of crops so that they can get the land to be able to not drain all the nutrients out of it. They know about keeping the soil healthy so that they can get a good crop every single year. And a lot of this information that these farmers know have been handed down for generation to generation. And so, with that said, even the people outside the farming community, the average Joe out there in the country, they know about these things as well. And they know how to like I said, preserve the soil and keep it going. Well, surely if this is... the whole thing is this. A lot of the things that go into the doomsday prophecies of the world aren't factoring in all the other factors such as, like the farmer understanding how to keep the soil healthy. They don't factor that in. They're factoring in only, maybe big old industrial farms that use all kinds of chemicals that they get out there. And they are totally discounting all the farmers out there that know how to do things the right way. So this particular portion of the deal is kind of, how can I say it kind of? It's kind of getting on my nerves. So either way, let's roll on a little bit here.
Process is beginning all over the world now. Our population is still growing, even as the resources needed to keep that population fed are going away. Our population should be diminishing also, but we're in a condition of overshoot. We're still expanding. There aren't enough resources on a finite planet, a closed sphere, to sustain infinite growth. We just can't do it.
Rupert believes the America of the future will bear little resemblance to the nation we know now.
The indicators that the United States of America is collapsing are all around us. The changes now are going to come much more rapidly. They're going to be much harder to take. And the choices that we make now are going to determine how we're able to deal with those challenges. It's a question about our ability to eat, to stay warm, to move, to interact, to live any kind of a life that bears any resemblance to anything like the life that we've lived before or that has any kind of quality in it. It means that the way of life that the world has come to know since the discovery of oil about 130, 140 years ago is all coming to an end.
Alright, so I'm going to pause the video once again. Apologize that might get obnoxious. But Stephen Gibbons posted in the chat room that last week new NASA photographs proved methane leaks exist on Saturn's moon Titan, showing that such hydrocarbons or so-called fossil fuels are seemingly plentiful in the solar system. Cassini passes Saturn. This startling discovery turns on its head the long-held Western belief that petroleum is a limited resource because it is primarily derived, we had been told, from the fossil remains of dead dinosaurs and rotted carbon-based vegetation. But with that notion, now exploded in the article, NASA finds lakes of hydrocarbons on Saturn's moon Titan. Thanks to NASA Cassini spacecraft, energy scientists are now compelled to admit that the petroleum oil is in fact substantially mineral in origin and occurring all through the galaxy. That report is from 2014, so not last week. Anyway, there you go, man. That means that somewhere out there, there must have been some dinosaurs on Titan as well. And, doggone it, I knew this was going to happen. Alright, who called from the doggone Knight's room? Yeah, gotta wait to see who. Yeah, don't call from the Knight's room because that opens up everybody's. That's alright, let me call you back. Hold on a second. Gotta hang this one up. Okay. Try this again. Well, Skype is giving me a hassle now. And I hate it when this happens.
There you go.
Hello! We're live! Alright, so anyway, Raymond's joined me, and let's see here. I don't know if that Knight's hung up or not. Doggone it. Okay. Alright, so anyway, we're talking about the Prophets of Doom, and, you know, science out there, I don't know what's wrong with the mainstream scientists outside the fact that they just must not have no common sense or anything. So, I'm kind of playing, Raymond, I'm playing live a little bits and pieces of a documentary called Prophets of Doom, and basically trying to put everything in perspective. So let's I don't know if you're going to be able to hear this through Skype, but I'll fill you in, Raymond. So anyway, what you're watching in the documentary right now is apocalyptic.
Cities and towns going bankrupt, which is happening. School districts are cutting back to 4-day weeks everywhere. Major cities are doing police cutbacks and fire cutbacks. We're seeing major infrastructure failures. An explosion in San Bruno, California, of a natural gas pipeline that was laid in 1948, and nobody had the money to repair the infrastructure. We're going to see major failures and calamities and disasters like that. The bridge failure in Minnesota a few years ago, not to mention 30 million unemployed, collapsing home values all over the place, foreclosures soaring. We are seeing all the signs of collapse throughout this country, and they're becoming more obvious every day.
Rupert is certain these troubles aren't temporary, nor are they the ordinary products of an economic downturn. He is convinced they are symptoms of a coming collapse.
Collapse has happened to every empire in human history. That...
Hey, Raymond, can you hear any of that?
No, I can't hear nothing.
All right, so I think since I got you on the line, I'll just go ahead and bypass the playing that for a while.
I watched it before I called you, and I thought it's very good, so it's got some really good points to it.
Yeah, but well,
I'm going to do it. I'll close up the radio show and put it in the background. That way I'll be able to switch over there to see it fast. So go ahead and do it exactly the way you planned it.
The whole concept of what's going on out here, the reason why I'm talking about this deal is because this documentary was made back in 2011, and you know, if you go all the way back to the year 2000, the Prophets of Doom were in full force way before there as well. And I talk about the same exact guy I'm talking about. You had people all over the world that were talking about doom and gloom and everything that was going to go down. Planet X was coming to blast us, and you know, meteors from outer space, and you know, computers crashing, apocalyptic world events, and you know, all this kind of stuff. Well, if you listen to mainstream media, And even in the alternative media, you would believe that the world was indeed coming to an end. There's wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes, and all the stuff, basically everything that was predicted in the Bible that everybody seems to despise these days. And so with that said, you know, it's been said. At least 2,000 years ago, it was said. In 1965, Paul Harvey talked about the basic deterioration of society and how if he were the devil, what he would be doing and such. And so, you know, it just... I'll play a little bit more of this and then I'll come back on.
It seems to be, if you will, a natural law that empires can grow to a certain place and then they implode.
2,000 years ago, the Roman Empire was the most powerful on Earth. The similarities between Rome then and America today are striking. And the story of what ultimately befell that nation is told in museums around the world.
Like here in America today, Rome's armies were spread too thin in too many foreign countries. Barbarian invasions, like terrorist attacks and cross-border incursions as we see in Mexico's drug wars, were constant. The government was corrupt, and the only way to get anything accomplished was through bribery or by increasing taxes. This is no different than the stranglehold lobbyists, banks, and corporations have on our government today. America, like ancient Rome, has this blind faith that we are superior to the rest of the world, that it's our destiny to reign supreme forever. It's not going to happen. We are going to learn some hard lessons and adjust to some hard circumstances. But we do have choices. The American Empire is going to fall. But we do not all have to fall with it.
Okay, I'll pause it there again for a second because I finally found something that I agree with. It said the American Empire is going to fall, but we don't have to fall with it. That's what we've been talking about here on the Knights of the Round Table for quite some time, that just because it's going to be a massive financial collapse sometime may or may not occur, because, you know, what they do have going on as far as the financial system is a worldwide Ponzi scheme where they pretty much print money as they want it or need it or whatever and manipulate the dollar through markets and all that kind of stuff. Well, a lot of these really highly educated people that are in this this documentary called Prophets of Doom, they go into all kinds of different things about, you know, infrastructure and water, and it, by the time we get to the end of the video, kind of a spoiler deal, water is one of the most important things, according to them, that we got to protect. And where I agree with the fact that, you know, water is really important, I also know how this world actually functions, and that, you know, this world, it's a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. There's, the Earth is three-quarters covered in water. We have technologies how to purify and actually rejuvenate water as far as vitamins and minerals and stuff that need to be in there by using natural processes on how nature actually filters stuff out and how minerals and stuff actually get into the water supply. Now, I'm not saying that mankind doesn't pollute and doesn't cause a bit of problems in the process of what we do, but the industrial age I don't see as the downfall of humanity. I see it as a potential step forward towards being able to take humanity as far as we can possibly go. Now, unless everybody wants to go back and live like the you know, people that used to ride around in covered wagons and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, after World War III, that might be kind of episode if anybody actually does survive a pending doom such like that, or even, you know, a second civil war in the United States. If you look at some of the war-torn zones over there in overseas where people have been fighting for years, you see that things are a mess, and a lot of people are still, even in those areas, figuring out ways where they can drive cars and, you know, renegotiate their lifestyles to where they can still get fresh water and stuff. It's just not as easy as it would be in a society where everything's, you know, organized and you actually have infrastructure. So my deal is, even though our infrastructure may be failing, at least we have the opportunity to try to maintain it. There are a lot of stupid things that are done, such as building entire cities or towns underneath huge man-made dams near areas that might be earthquake prone, or building nuclear facilities near places where there might be fault lines and such. But if you step back and you look at the big picture, a little bit of common sense can make the difference on how we move forward as far as life in the future. I read that comment out that I wrote to a pastor. His name's Paul Begley. He's always putting on videos on there, and it always says urgent, apocalyptic this, or doomsday that, or whatever. And I'm trying to remind him that according to our faith, which is Christianity, that you're not supposed to worry about all this stuff. God's supposed to have it under control. Now, if that's not the truth, then I guess we're doomed. But nonetheless, if you're professing to be a Christian, you need to follow the way that says that you're supposed to not worry about all this stuff. Now, not saying that you're supposed to close your blind eye to, things that are happening. You're supposed to watch for signs and stuff like that. But I see a trend that's been going on worldwide through the internet and in general population or whatever, just the public in general, where people are all stressed out, going into doomsday prepper mode or full combat mode or paranoia or whatever. And even during the entire election cycle, it's like urgent, it's apocalyptic. You got to get certain people elected, or you got to make sure this corrupt individual doesn't get elected. We're all going to lose our freedoms, we're all going to lose our guns, and so on. And there's so many different things that make life flat out miserable when you're worried about your family's protection. Heck, I went down the rabbit hole years ago, back first time I ever heard Alex Jones in 98, and I started paying attention to current affairs. And that was back during the Clinton impeachment trial, when Clinton, did something he wasn't supposed to do and then lied about it to Congress and the world, or to America anyway. Well, might as well say the world, because the world watches anyway. But nonetheless, he wasn't truthful and finally came out and admitted it, and he went through an impeachment trial, and I'm paying attention because I used to think Bill Clinton was a good president and all this kind of stuff. And so I started listening in on the alternative media, and Alex Jones was one of the first people, not the only one, but one of the first people that I started listening into, and he started talking about all the conspiracy world, the entirety of the conspiracy world. One world government and all this kind of stuff. Of course, when you talk about rounding up my family, you get me all upset and frustrated, because I don't want my family going off to some sort of FEMA camp or, be re-educated or assassinated and stuff. And so I'm going around and I'm inspecting everything, even stickers on the back of signs or stickers on your mailbox and all these different conspiracy theories that I could go into, but I won't, because it's just beating a dead horse as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, when these prophets of doom are sitting here telling the whole entire world that, we're going to have this massive financial collapse, or, we're going to pollute our planet beyond all existence, and there's really no way you can stop it. America's going to fall just like all the empires prior to it. Maybe it will. But If we're not working forward towards some sort of resolution or solution that is going to avert this, then we might as well just sit back for the ride and wait for it to fall. Raymond's always saying that if you you ignore history, you're bound to repeat it. And I couldn't agree with him more on that aspect. I think that there's a lot of things in this world that need to be addressed that are a real problem. I don't believe the world's overpopulated. There's not a single soul on this planet with enough intelligence or evidence to prove to me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the world is overpopulated. So I won't even entertain a conversation such as that, because it's not realistic. It doesn't fall within natural law or science. And, if world ever did get overpopulated, nature has been doing this for so many years, and according to the folks that don't have faith in a higher being or whatever, intelligent design, that believe that it's all been going on for millions or billions of years, and we evolved from squiggly things in the water all the way up to monkeys or whatever, and finally to man, that nature, when things get compacted, such as a whole bunch of fish swim up in one area where they deplete all the oxygen, well, then a bunch of fish die off and that place is no longer overpopulated. Nature has been doing this since the dawn of time. And so, as far as people to say that, you know, the world is overpopulated, they're saying that out of fear or foolishness because, like I said, nature has everything in control. And like I said, I won't even entertain such ignorance, because the world could withstand 9 times the population it's got now. We have more than enough resources, vast resources, that if utilized properly, everyone could be fed, everyone could have a home, and everyone could have everything they need.
Shaziz,
yeah.
There is an area in Russia larger than the United States that no human being lives in. There are areas in Canada, 2/3 the size of the United States, no human being lives in. And if the earth is overpopulated, kiss my butt.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of land that's locked down by the governments, supposedly natural reserves and stuff. And, you know, so for people to say that, you know, you got to take all your information. Where does the information come from that you get that tells you that we're going to run out of fossil fuel? Okay, fossil fuel is a misnomer anyway. I don't care. You know, you can say that a whole bunch of dinosaurs back in the day, you know, died and turned into crude oil. But answer me a question. I know you're not like really up into chemistry or anything, but what is tar made out of?
Fossil fuel.
Okay, so a lot of dinosaurs were found in the La Brea tar pits, right?
Right.
So what does that tell you? Were the tar pits before the dinosaur, or were they after the dinosaur?
Before the dinosaur. You're absolutely right. That is a good, good point. And the fact that we're not going to run out of fossil fuel, look at the algae in the oceans. When the algae dies, algae, my driveway is 45% vegetable oil. When the algae dies, it goes to the bottom of the sea, it rots, it dies, and the oil does whatever it does. It goes down into the earth, and I mean, everything that dies, vegetables, even plants, they're full of vegetable oil. I mean, tag on, man, come on. We're not, if we run out of fossil fuel as far as oil goes, if we ever run out, it'll be because we're using it faster than nature can make it, and then we deserve
it. It won't even be that. It won't even be that, because the only way possible that we could ever run out of fossil fuel is if the cycle of life completely comes to a halt. It's the only way it's possible. And as much land is not being used, and much as oil pockets haven't been found in certain areas, I mean, underneath the ground, if you stop pumping oil, and I'm sure you're in Texas, and you should pretty much understand this, that there are doggone wells out there that they went dry because they pumped them dry, and so the thing sat there for a long time, and so, ironically enough, somehow or another, it filled itself back up over the years where nobody was using it or anything. You see what I'm saying? You gotta turn your mic back on.
Yes, I do. I see exactly what you're saying. I agree with you 100%. You know, I showed you the other day, it just began starting another research on cellulose.
Yeah.
I took some grass and put it in a heater and dried it out completely so that it was less than 2% moisture, and put it in the coffee grinder, ground it up, and made a cellulose fuel that could work exactly like coal dust in a coal dust burner. A lot of your old style coal generation power plant, that's exactly what they did. They took the coal and ground it down to a fine powder, finer than baby powder. and then they blow it into the furnace, but the air that blows it in, it works like a battery tube, okay? So you're mixing it with the air, and it's going, it burns, I mean, blazing hot. It's like a blast furnace. You can do the same thing with grass clippings.
Yeah.
Same thing with dried leaves that fall on the ground, and you wake them up and throw them away. Put them in bags and let the city carry them away to the landfill. Now you can grind these things up, make your own blast furnace, and it would be so simple. Boil your water and make your own electricity. Fuel is everywhere. You've said it 1,000 and 1,500 times. But you've said it thousands of times on that side and here. If you're not looking for free energy, if you don't believe in free energy, then you're just plain not looking. It's everywhere. You're swimming in it, though.
Yeah. And so with that said, even if fossil fuels were to completely dry up and you couldn't find any more, we still got technology out there to burn water, for Pete's sake. We could burn wood, we could burn anything out there that's carbon-based can be used as a fuel. If you can atomize it, it can be burned. That's all there is to it.
Exactly.
You know, if that weren't the truth...
So there's even steel. If you get it out of that, it'll burn. And you put a little air to it, and it'll burn. I mean, like a blast furnace.
Yeah, if what I'm saying isn't true, then there wouldn't be no lava fields in the world. Because if you think about what's in those lava fields, there's all kinds of metals, there's glass, there's different crystals, there's so much out there. Every material out in the world, if my yard opens up and a lava field comes out there, it'll burn down everything in sight and melt the rocks included. So, you know, if what I'm saying and what you're saying about being able to burn anything as fuel isn't true, then there wouldn't be no lava fields.
Right.
So, you know, whatever designed this earth or whoever, you know, this is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. The only problem that we have on there is the same problem that my friend Steve, Simply Steve, put on the banner when he was working on the site. He said, "Nature needs no improvement. Only the arrogance of man requires change."
Absolutely. Amen on that one.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up, what should be going on out there. See, now, governments get corrupt, and people will get corrupt, and the world basically fights amongst each other. A lot of wars and craziness. A lot of famine is because of a lot of wars that went on. You know, when people get displaced from their community and they can no longer do what they normally done, you know, farm and go to work and share products and all this kind of stuff.
Talk about the arrogance of man.
Yeah.
They just recently proved that the theory of radioactivity from nuclear power plant has a 5,000-year half-life. So at one quarter of its life, it would still kill man. So you're talking 10,000 years here. However, almost all of the radiation from every radioactive bomb that's ever been tested or dropped is totally dissipated.
Yeah.
When was the last bomb dropped? 40 years ago?
Well, what I'm trying to point out...
It's proven that lightning reduces radioactivity.
Well, I'm trying to point out...
This Earth, you don't have lightning.
Yeah. Look, they blew these doggone atomic bombs up in the atmosphere to test it out. I guess there was this secret program called...
It's the arrogance of man thinking that he could build something that wipe out the Earth. The Earth. No, life, yes, maybe. But the Earth? Come on. I mean, the Earth is going to survive when man finally wipes himself and half of the other life off this planet. The Earth will survive. And without man, without this, that, and another, the Earth will heal itself and go right back pristine the way it was before man even... In fact, he won't even have to wipe out all men. Just enough of the arrogant ones.
Sure, that's what I was getting ready to talk about, was the fact that there is no chemical that man has ever put together that nature cannot deteriorate. Okay, maybe we don't have long enough for nature to deteriorate it in certain areas. It's like I always say, you don't want to pee and poo in your own fishbowl, because You know, you poison yourself. That's what happens. If it wasn't for an outside force coming in, changing the water in the fish bowl, the fish would die because peeing and pooing in his own water, the urea or whatever would get so, the alkaline would raise so high inside that fish bowl that it'd burn his gills and he wouldn't be able to breathe and he'd die. Same thing with mankind. So we can learn a lot from the fish bowl and nature, you know. And speaking of fish bowls.
It's your fish bowl. What about your big cities? Chicago, New York, San Francisco.
Yeah. Hold on, let me get this point out before I forget
it.
Hong
Kong.
Let me get this point out before I forget it. There is a conspiracy out there. It might not be a conspiracy. It might be actually based on fact. Somebody might want to look it up. There was a program, I guess they called Operation Fishbowl or something like that, where they were literally shooting atomic weapons up at the atmosphere to measure the results and how far that, you know, this stuff would travel and such. Hi, Jermaine. Jermaine says hi from the chat room. Anyway, so if they did that, then they spread a whole bunch of radioactive material all over back during those days, and then they did all the atomic tests. The Russians did atomic tests. The Chinese did atomic tests. The Koreans did atomic tests. And India did atomic tests. All different atomic tests that went on throughout the entire deal. But I don't want to drag this show down into the whole history or dangers or lack thereof or doomsday of the atomic industry, you know, basically nuclear power plants and stuff, because we all know the science of it, but sometimes the science gets skewed into prophets of doom. Everybody's going to die. I've been hearing this for so long that it wears you down. It's like every day is a new doomsday. You got to be out there and you got to try to fight against a new doomsday. We're going to have solar flares that are going to strip off our atmosphere, and we got to get as deep underground as we can. And the elite are building bunkers underground, and they're going in to hide, so they must know something we don't. Or, you know, World War III is pending and all that kind of stuff. I'm always saying on here, I hope we never see World War III. I hope we never see a second revolution in here. But one of the things that the guy said on there earlier that I did agree with was the fact that, you know, when and if America does collapse, we don't have to collapse with it. We can use some wisdom in all the stuff that I have explained here to literally survive. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Steven asked me if I've seen a video he sent with his small Joe cell. No, I hadn't had a chance to see that video, Jermaine. I'll take a look at it after the show. Anyway, so I would play a little bit more of this video, but I think pretty much touched on just about everything in the doggone video. You know, it talks about water wars at the end of it, you know, essentially, you know, being able to keep your water supply clean and all that. Those are things that need to be addressed. But as far as running out of drinkable water, you know, until those oceans go dry, that ain't gonna happen. It's not scientifically plausible for that to happen. You pollute every doggone bit of that ocean, there's still water there that could be treated and filtered. That's all there is to it. And I don't care how smart you think you are, how many years you've been educated in and whatever subject you have been, there is no way under this earth that anyone on this planet can convince me that there is no way that we would ever be able to filter out any water that's out here on the earth. The earth is 3/4 covered in water. There's water underground. There's miles and miles and miles of aquifers under the ground. It rains, the water evaporates, it rains back down. Nature continuously recycles everything. As the water filters back through the ground, it grabs up stuff out of the water, and by the time it gets back down into the aquifer, it's filtered again. There's even YouTube videos out there show you how to make a natural style water filtration system out of a 50-gallon barrel, using the exact process that nature does. We got ways that we can build filters that'll take stuff down in the microns out of water. We got methods by which we can boil water into steam, separate any crud from it. The science is there, and it's been there.
How many nuclear aircraft carriers do the United States have right now? Is it 7 or 8?
Crud, I don't even know anymore, man.
You know, the thing is, each and every one of them has a water, saltwater filtration system on them that can actually produce over 50,000 gallons of fresh drinking water every 24 hours. Why couldn't we just build some on the coastline and pump the fresh water in? Why couldn't other countries do that? I mean, the companies that build those things, that's opening up a whole new field for them. They can go to countries that are starving for fresh water and say, hey, we'll build you one at a discount if you buy two or three, you know?
Yep.
Think about it in a minute.
Well, and there's also byproducts of...
That would cause... what am I trying to say? That's something that would cause strife in other countries against us. I mean, all they had to do was just pull their money together, pay one of these companies to build them. They can ship it to them.
Yep. There are byproducts of desalinization that a lot of people don't recognize. There's a lot of minerals in ocean, even gold. You can get gold out of desalination process. Did you know that?
Whatever runs the desalinization plant, make it solar. Use solar energy.
Well, that's another one of many possibilities. It's...
Yeah.
The whole thing is that you got a ruckus going on in the night's room because you called from the night's room and basically woke everybody up.
Good. It's 9 o'clock here. They ought to get out of bed.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of salt water in the ocean. A lot of salt in the ocean. And a lot of people say, well, you know, if you desalinate all the ocean, then the ocean will die because it won't have the salt content it did before.
That's bull hockey. People aren't even using their brain. Every bit of water that hits a dry land runs to the sea.
Yeah, well, that's right. And you look, if you go to places like Florida, I don't know if you got oceans near where you're at, but if you go places like Florida, you can actually see where the salt water mixes with the fresh water. And it actually changes color, ironically enough. It's kind of an orangish-looking color. It looks polluted, but it's not. And fish actually learn to adapt to swim in and out of that. You can catch
the
fish.
Old sailor tale, you've probably heard it since you were in the Navy, about a square-rigger sailing ship that ran out of water, and they were dying of thirst. And they saw another ship way off, and they signaled to it... you know, they're distressed, they need fresh water. And their return signal was, throw your bucket over the side of your ship. Well, they had to send the signal 3 times before they finally realized what they were talking about. So they actually threw the bucket overside full of fresh water, and they were in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Outside, just in front of the Mississippi River, the water was running so fast, it was pushing all the salt water out, you would be far enough away that you could not see land. Yet there was fresh water. I mean, so all of the water in the world that's on land finally eventually winds up in the ocean. I mean, even the water that the plants suck up to keep them alive, it evaporates into the air, goes up in the clouds, and rains down on the ocean. So the thing, we're going to desalinize salt water to give people drinking water, and we're going to create so much salt in the water that it's going to kill the fish, is stupid manhood arrogance. It's arrogant to think that you could do that.
Yeah.
You'd have to build a dike all the way around every continent in the world and not let the water return in order to do that. I don't know if man would be here long enough to do something like that.
Well, you know, mankind...
Oh, yeah.
Mankind can create a ruckus, that's for sure, and mankind does have the capabilities and does pollute and create messes that, you know, in that general vicinity. You know, one of the things that I think about every time I think about all this is that during Chernobyl, they said, you know, you wouldn't be able to go back in there for thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years or whatever. Well, there's a show on Discovery Channel, I think it is, where the guy goes monster fishing. He went fishing in the waters of Chernobyl. So, that wasn't 100 years or 1,000 years later.
Nope.
Man, that's what I'm trying to say. And so, when you listen to... man, who in the heck said that? That's nasty. Anyway, so when you listen to the prophets of doom out there, you would think that the we're just screwed, man. There ain't nothing we can do about it. You know? All right, somebody trying to have a conversation with me in the doggone. Hit the wrong button. There we go. Okay. So anyway, you'd think there wasn't nothing we could do about it. But what I'm trying to point out to you, same thing I've been trying to point out to everybody on the Knights of the Round Table, and even the Mad Science Channel for that, is that we got options available. We got technology that we could utilize in a proper manner and be able to, you know, address all the problems and basically clean up our messes. But it's going to take a lot of effort between a lot of people who aren't government agencies, who aren't, you know, corporations, who aren't, you know, basically part of the system that a lot of people despise. It's going to take the average Joe to get the knowledge in their head. You know, when he was talking about how we were going to not be able to have enough food because all the nutrients from all the growing and everything was being depleted from the soil there, and there's no way that we can sustain that. I look at him while he's saying it, and I'm like, that's just pure ridiculousness. I'm around farmers. I know farmers, and I know that that land is their... it's their livelihood. So, doggone it, I keep getting interrupted. Roll up and look, doggone it. It's terrible for radio. You see what I'm trying to say here, Raymond?
Yes, I do. I don't even know how to get to that chat room.
All right. It's one for the Knights of the Round Table on Skype. All right, so anyway, when I'm listening to these folks are talking about all the different possibilities, World War III would be a scary scenario. Nuclear disasters, infrastructures destroyed, and even not maintaining bridges, that's a bad thing because you'll get big old calamities going on where bridges collapse and a lot of people die and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, whether 9/11 was an inside job or whether it was an outside job, nonetheless, we're told that about 3,000 or more people were killed in that that situation. And so it's not it's man that's killing man. It's right. That simple. It's not some rock coming from outer space. It's not some uncontrollable plague that is you know, going around killing off the population of the world. It's man. It's man tinkering around with nature, you know, tampering with nature. It's man doing what man does best, which is tearing stuff up.
Right, there you go.
So what we need to get through people's heads is until man breaks the habit of just driving down the road throwing trash out the window, you know, then it's always going to be a continuing, you know, discussion about the world being as polluted as it is. And so we got to use our stuff more wisely. We got to take care of one another more wisely. We can't keep on polluting the planet. We can't keep on dropping bombs on each other. And we can't keep on, you know, doing things the way we've been doing them over all the time of the history of our nation and other nations out there and empires prior. America's been around for a long time. You know, probably the longest in the history of time for any, whatever, if you want to call it an empire. I call it a gathering of people from all over the globe, but how we got here and the ways and the things that were done in the process to get us here weren't always a good thing. You converge all these different societies with each other and all the different cultures, and you get people that are willing to do rotten things to each other in order to steal from one another. That's why the world's screwed up, Raymond.
Yep.
It's as simple as that. People didn't want to come around and just respect the freedoms and the rights of the indigenous people, and so, you know, they basically abused them and stole from them. You know, they should have left them alone. They should have left them to do what they did. They were here first. It was their land. You know, now we're here. And, you know, every time, you know, there's a phrase out there, to the victor goes the spoils. So that means if you go over and you conquer another people's land, then you get all the spoils of that deal, right? You get the treasures and whatever they have to offer. You basically, it's yours now. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, until that mentality's gone, until there's a means by which people can even go to war in fairness. They even got the Geneva Convention. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Basically, it's where they discuss that there are certain things that even were too hideous for war, like mustard gas or torturing soldiers, or you know, using blades that are specifically designed to, when you stab somebody, will literally rip their guts out when you pull it out.
Right.
And those are things that we were, you know, supposedly, as all the United Nations people out there were saying, that those are things that we don't think are you know, even right for war. And basically made them international crimes to be caught in wartime with certain, like, chemical weapons that would literally burn people, or, you know, torment them, or biological weapons that would make them die of diseases and stuff. But the fact that that even had to come into play, that the nations of the world actually had to come together and say, look, you know, I don't mind a good fair fight, but you guys are fighting dirty, and we want that to stop. Okay, you shoot somebody.
In other words, it's okay to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Their gold, or their oil, or their food, or their land, but you just need to do it in a humane way.
Yeah, that's basically what the Geneva Convention was all about. You know, basically making war, you know, just rules in war, like a boxing match. Two guys get in a boxing ring and they're going to beat each other up. Well, you can't elbow them in a boxing match. That's illegal. You can't knee them in the nose. You have to punch them with the little padded gloves. All right?
Right.
And so... Yeah. So they made rules up in the boxing match, and they got rules up for war where you can go over and kill them.
Let's make the rule realistic, okay? If the leader of this country wants to fight the leader of that country, then let them fight.
Yeah, put them in the ring together.
Right.
But either way, you know, it's pure ridiculousness, the whole doggone thing. You know, it's okay, you know, you go over there and kill them, or if you capture them, you gotta be humane to them, you gotta feed them, you can't torment them or torture them and that kind of stuff. And, you know, some countries abided by the deal, and some countries didn't, according to what we were told. Maybe none of them did. Maybe all of them tortured. Even during the Civil War here in the United States, there were Union soldiers tortured. There were the other side tortured. Both sides. Not everybody in war follows the rules of war, so to speak.
You know, somebody brought up several weeks ago about a trade system rather than money. What's wrong with 2 bushels of wheat or corn for a barrel of oil? What's wrong with that?
What do you mean, as far as trade?
Yeah.
There ain't nothing wrong with trade.
Buying it with money that's worthless. Buy it with something that's worth something. Well, yeah. Give them what they want.
Well, and that's one of the things. That's one of the things that the prophets of doom overlooked, was that in a collapse such as that, sure, you're going to have knuckleheads running around stealing from each other if the system's just total chaos. But the good people...
It's loaded with oil. They've got more oil to drink. They can't drink all that oil. But they sure as hell eat a lot of wheat, rice, and corn.
Anyway,
so you get a shipload of rice.
You cut me right off in the middle of my point. You're going to
We use it for tractors and farm equipment to grow the corn and wheat.
Sure.
We can grow more than we need, so we ship them the excess. They ship us their excess oil, the oil they can't eat or drink.
Sure. Now, let me finish my point. The whole thing is, you're going to have knuckleheads going to run around stealing stuff from each other because they're too lazy to work for their own stuff. And so they're going to run around stealing from each other. But the good people of the world, they're going to use bartering, they're going to use trading, they're going to use whatever knowledge they got. It's going to be those who aren't educated and, you know, really don't really care to be educated or care to do any research or work in order to do it, and that are going to be the problems in society. And so when these folks are talking about all these different potential things in a way that they could work out, they're not mentioning that stuff. You know, they're not mentioning, like, you got resources, I got resources, and together, you know, we're going to try to work through the process of whatever disaster occurs in order to protect each other and our friends and our neighbors and our families and such. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Yes, I do. I see exactly what you're saying. You know, think about this a minute. How was the United States formed anyway? It was England emptying all their prisons of crooks, debtors, murderers, rapists, buggers, thieves, pickpockets, and took them all and put them in the United States, which was not the United States at the time. But now all of a sudden you've got an entire large population of people, and every one of them are decadents. They're crooks. They're everything. And they're stealing from each other. And all of a sudden they realize, whoa, wait a minute, this ain't working. So then they start forming an organization. There again, Australia, same thing. Prison got full and started to cost the non-crooked people a lot of money. So they just empty all of a sudden and take them to Australia. Well, now all of a sudden you've got nothing but crooks and thieves and so forth. So, duh. If this ain't working, we need to form some kind of an organization here and infrastructure or whatever. France, duh, Canada, New Orleans, same thing. Eventually, these people have to straighten up. They realize crime isn't working because we're all criminals. So then they have to form their own society.
Well, even
what's wrong with taking all the crooks from all over the world that their government and their people deem unacceptable, taking another large island and put it in, just mixing all the races and just put it on one large island, and each country supplies one ship to circle that island constantly looking for anybody trying to escape.
I think they did that in the video called Escape from New York.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that didn't go over so well because after a period of time, you know, things just kind of got worse than that. Either way.
All right, but that's a movie, okay? But in reality, study history. And again, I'll say it one more time because I'm redundant. He who does not study history is doomed to repeat it.
Yeah.
So study your history. Look how the United States was formed. Louisiana, Canada, Australia, and several other penal colonies. They all eventually wiped themselves out or formed a different society and learned how to try to get along with each other. And more of them became that than the ones that actually destroyed themselves.
Yeah. So, basically, the show started off about the Prophets of Doom documentary that was made in 2011 and aired on the History Channel. And it's a bunch of guys that got together and they talked about what they thought the doomsday prophecies was going to be. And it went everything from running out of oil and fossil fuels, infrastructure breaking down, to financial collapse, to water disasters, natural disasters, man-made disasters, war, nuclear war, civil unrest, all kinds of different potentials. If you go out there and you search up Prophets of Doom, you're going to find a bunch of stuff out there on that as far as on the Google search deal. And, you know, even in the religious communities or whatever, you're going to find pastors out there that are always talking about the apocalypse, the end times, and everything like that. And if you search on YouTube for, you know, apocalyptic or doomsday, you're going to find everything from Planet X to doomsday asteroids coming in. Go back and search up the old Y2K scenario, and you'll find that, especially since technology got to the point where we had access to information all over the internet, that these stories were, like, prevalent. And now, it's almost like entertainment. I don't know if it's entertainment or a psychological operation to make people scared of life and, you know, all this kind of stuff, or manipulating us into fighting amongst each other or hating each other because we're black or white or yellow or red or whatever, and breaking us up between political views or religious ideologies or lack thereof. There's so many different, it's like the actual human themselves, all the humans of the world are under attack 24/7, chemically, with drugs, psychologically, with mind control, and everything that you can possibly imagine. And these are things that I was hearing back in 1998 when I started listening into a guy named Alex Jones out there while trying to find out what was going on in the government with the Clinton impeachment trials and stuff. So I went so far down the rabbit hole that I never recovered as far as paranoia wise. Because if you look at me today, I dress like I'm ready for war. I look like I'm combat ready. Because walking outside the doors that I live in, once I get outside of my house, you know, things get a little bit more dangerous. Once I get outside of my property, things get a lot more dangerous. And once I'm out there dealing with the average life, you know, let me put this down there for an example. Say I'm driving down the road, right? I get a flat tire. And so I'm off the side of the road, and all I gotta do is change my tire. I'm back on the road. I'm back heading to wherever it was I was going, and everything's fine. Well, then behind me, all of a sudden I'll see red and blue lights pull up in behind my car. Now you would think, okay, this is a good thing. I got a public servant out here that's got the lights going on for safety reasons so nobody swerves off the road and kills me while I'm trying to repair the tire on my car. Well, the officer come out there, you know, I call them armed revenue generators for the state, and I'll explain that later, but either way, they're there to make money for the state. They're not there to serve and protect, and that's all I've witnessed throughout the entire time. But nonetheless, back to my story. So I'm minding my own affairs. I'm changing my tire. The officer comes up. He explains to me that, the reason I stopped, I saw you off the side of the road, and I'm going to sit here and tell you, you get your tire back on. I done told him my tire was I didn't mention that in my story, but I explained to him, yeah, I'm off the side of the road, changing the tire, I'll get this tire, I'll get back on the road and everything be fine again. Right? Well, in the process of that, the next question that's going to come out of his mouth is, do you have any identification? Alright, wait a second, why are you asking me for identifications? I thought you stopped here to help me out, now you're going to investigate me. You know, so he's wanting my driver's license so he can run me through the deal to see if I got any warrants out for me or if I'm a potential terrorist or anything. When that man first signed up to be a police officer, he signed to serve and protect and uphold the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Now, because I'm off the road with a flat tire, I'm under the suspicion of potentially anything. I got to give him my information so that he can run to see to make sure that I'm not a wanted criminal or or anything like that. Where in this entire scenario did you see any reasoning for him to want to check my doggone driver's license to see if I was doing anything I shouldn't do?
Now, I totally disagree with you. Totally, completely, absolutely disagree. Because if you have nothing to hide, why wouldn't you let him check it out? Do you have any idea how many people that have warrants out for them that they catch like that because they got a bad tail light?
Yeah, but
but if they check you, and if you don't have anything wrong, why would you be upset? I flee when they ask me. If they stop me for a bad tail light or running a stop sign and they ask me for my ID, they have no intention of giving me a ticket.
That's right, Raymond.
I'm clean. And I thought I was.
And that makes...
a bad tail light one time, and they ran the lights to come to find out there was a warrant out for my arrest.
Yeah.
I said, there is. He kind of giggled, and I giggled, and he said, yeah, there really is. I said, man, I have no idea. I said, let's go. Come to find out, it was 3 years prior to that, I had written a check for $1.68 to Payless Cashways back when it was a supply house, the building material. Anyway, $1.68 for the check bounced because the day after I wrote that check, I had an emergency and had to leave Texas to go to Virginia, and I was gone for 3 months. So I missed the letter from the company. Then I also missed the registered letter from the company, and then they filed a bad check for me. So I had written a bad check. It took them 3 years. I mean, if I had known it, I'd have gone up and taken care of it instantly, but I didn't. I didn't know.
Sure, but let's go back to what you said there. You said that the reason why you disagreed, if I had nothing to hide, then I shouldn't be concerned about it. But see, in the conspiracy world, they would say that that means that you're a perfect slave because you would be willing to give up your freedom for security. So,
not my freedom.
Well, that's
you, my information.
According to
ships find out that I'm not guilty of anything serious. Therefore, in doing so, what about the guy that robbed the bank?
Well, sure, but you're
beat his wife to death and split the state. Now he's in another state.
I could give you a billion and one examples of the same kind of scenario, but either way, you're guaranteed by the Constitution the rights against illegal search and seizure. There's no reason.
You're guaranteed by the rights of the Bill of Rights of the United States that you can beat your wife to death with a claw hammer and get away with it because they don't have the right to ask you for your information. I disagree totally.
Well,
you're going to have a hard time getting me to agree with you.
Not trying to get you to agree. Not trying to convert you over to my way of thinking. But according to the Constitution, you're not supposed to be under investigation just for traveling. My scenario talks about I've had a flat tire, so I stopped. And I got my sticks in my tire. And along comes the law, man, and suddenly he got to investigate me for see if I got any kind of criminal things going on. That's not his job. That's not his job. That never was his job.
Do you really and truly feel like that was an investigation?
Yes.
Or just curiosity?
It's an investigation. As soon as he asked me for my papers, this has been done before in history. But nonetheless, whether you think it's right or wrong, I'm telling you, I came out of my place and everything escalated from the time that I come out of my place. Like, as soon as I walk out my front door, my danger level escalates. Once I got off my property, it escalated even farther. Once I started driving down a road, it went up yet even higher. The moment I had a flat tire, and the lawman stopped to, at first, serve and protect like the job was supposed to be. Well, then to that point, everything was fine. But the moment that he ask me for my identification to look in on anything to see if I had done anything that I shouldn't have done. Suddenly, it escalated to a potential life or death situation, because if I disagree with him and I say, well, you ain't got no reason to be asking me for my driver's license, well, then he will escalate it yet even further and it'll keep on going up. But you just said the reason why you disagreed with me was the fact that if I didn't have anything to hide from my government, that I would have had no problem giving him my driver's license. I was fishing in the creek, minding my own business on public property with a valid fishing license. Somebody called the police and said that I was broke down. Well, next thing I know, I'm down there fishing in the creek, minding my own affairs. I got a fishing pole in my hand. I got a bucket beside me. And the sheriff deputy pulls up and he checks me out. And then he wants my driver's license and all that. And I'm telling him all along, I got a valid driver's license. I got a valid fishing license. I'm not trespassing on private property. I pulled over and parked over safely, following all the safety rules and regulations of all everything that I was doing. I was in compliance. And now this man wanted my identification so he could run it to see if I had any warrants and so on. The very next day, I moved over to a different spot on the other side of outside of town. Same type of scenario. Parked off in the driveway, minding my own affairs. This time I left a note in the window saying, I'm fishing in the creek. Alright, well, sheriff deputy shows up again, puts a doggone sticker on the back of my vehicle saying that this car is considered abandoned, and if it wasn't moved by a certain amount of time, they were going to literally tow my car off. They were going to steal my property and tow it off.
Man, now that one I would have to argue with. You're right. On that one, you're right.
Well,
you put a sign on the daggone thing, you were visible. They could see that you were down there fishing. You said fishing in the creek.
Yeah, I'm saying.
The
Constitution.
Abandoned?
The Constitution that they swore to uphold was that I could be secure in my persons and my property, and I could travel across the land as a citizen of the United States without being, you know, investigated and hassled. Well, it didn't play out like that, and that's supposed to be America. But nonetheless, it takes us all the way back to this whole entire scenario, prophets of doom, and the system and the way that it's set up is that you don't, even though you think you're free here in America, you're not. You're under constant bombardment from people trying to sell you stuff, to people trying to get you into the legal system for financial gain or whatever. It's better that you just stay at home and away from the entire system as opposed to going out there trying to interact with them. Because once I interacted with them law enforcement officers, I was playing by their game and their rules and potentially could meet harm, be it financial, freedom-wise, or even to the extent of violence when I said something that I wasn't supposed to say, trying to defend my own rights. And so you got people out there telling you the same thing you just told me about. You know, hey, if you ain't got nothing to hide, don't worry about it. Well, doggone, I shouldn't have to hide. I shouldn't have to protect myself unless I'm doing something wrong. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
You know, I'm not anti-cop. I'm not. I honestly am not. I just don't trust the system because it's changed. It's not what it used to be or what it was proposed to be. The red light cameras were supposedly there for people running red lights and safety in case an accident happened for public safety. Now they're used to literally profile people. You know, the system, it's got so far out of hand. And the corporations and all the things that we talk about here about poisoning the water and polluting the dang land, or, you know, companies like BP pouring stuff into the oceans, polluting up the water out there, they didn't ask us to do that. The government didn't even ask us whether or not we thought it was a good idea. They just took it upon themselves to do so. During the Fukushima radiation episode, you know, it polluted everything out there. Nobody said nothing to us. Nobody said, well, these are the specific dangers and these are not the dangers. So either way, we were getting information that the prophets of doom now use to say that we're going to die. We're all going to die. The apocalyptic scenarios are going to play out. So not only do I got to worry about interactions with the law enforcement, I got to worry about interactions with the court system. I got to worry about interactions with the military, to the extent that if everybody goes crazy and starts to fight, I got to worry about a World War II or FEMA camp scenario. I got to worry about my government getting control or spying on me through my TV or my camera, my VCR, whatever, you know, all these things. Everything out here, the rabbit hole that is the conspiracy world, the rabbit hole that is the prophets of doom's platform that they shout from, that the whole world is dying. And I'm sitting here, and you're sitting here, and others are sitting here saying that, look, we have solutions. We have, yeah. There is yeah. hope. That's what I'm trying to get to with this thing here. I'm not trying to say that I don't trust, you know, I don't trust the cops. Honestly, I don't, because I was one. All right?
I'm getting tired of people preaching on gloom and doom.
Yeah.
Look, I want to hear somebody stand up and tell, look, we're facing this. This is what we can do. And that is exactly what we try to do on this show.
Yeah. And
so
that's,
I think that can be done. It's just people are too complacent.
That's what they...
anything that can be invented has already been invented. Well, duh, that's a defeatist attitude. Because if it hasn't been, you could be the person to do it. You know? But you already think that somebody else has already done it. You just don't know about it yet. So you're not going to even try. No more gloom and doom.
That's what...
We know it's going to gloom. We know there's going to be doom. But we also know how to fix it.
That's
before it gets here.
That's what I'm trying to get across to the world out there, that the representatives of the world, look, if the news come out there and they said, look, we got a serious problem that could end up injuring or even potentially killing a lot of people if we don't get this resolved. This is what's going on. This is what we believe that we can do to resolve it, and we're looking for any input of any brilliant minds around the world. I could respect the mainstream media then. All right?
You know, the first thing that pops in my mind when I hear somebody just constantly preaching gloom and doom with no resolve to it reminds me of the old saying, why are you shutting the barn door? The cow is already out.
Yeah. And
why would you shut the barn door when the cow's left? She can't get back in now.
And as far as the government and all the executive, legislative, judicial branches of government out there, the representatives should be basically coming out being forthright about every episode. Okay, look, there was a disaster over in Fukushima that the nuclear power plant broke down, and it's bad. It's really bad. But we are working on solutions, and we will keep you updated on everything that's going on. See, that's something I could work with, but it's not happening like that. And the more that governments are silent on the fact, because they don't want to say, you know, they want everybody panic. This is the go-to every time there's any kind of potential doomsday. Is the government hasn't said nothing about Planet X coming in to blast you because they would start a worldwide panic and all this kind of stuff. Well, the prophets of doom will grab that up and they'll tell you, oh, look, they're going to throw you all up in FEMA camps because of the doggone doomsday rock coming to get us. All right. Well, the government could have averted that entire scenario just by saying, honestly, look, we found out NASA said they've seen this big rock coming in. We're not positive it's going to hit us, but the way it's coming at us, it looks like it's a potential possibility. And so what we need to do is bring our brilliant minds to the table and find a resolution to it. See, now I could work with that. Any of these scenarios that we've mentioned out there. Common sense. What we do on here on the Mad Science or the Knights of the Round Table, we sit there, we address the problem, we find some sort of potential solution, and we entertain all the possibilities to make it right again.
Right.
That's not what's happening in the mainstream media or the alternative media or the governments of the world. There, it's all like, you know, you're going to die. Terrorists is going to get you. Terrorists are going to drop nukes in the city. Terrorists are going to throw biological. Terrorists are going to blow up trains and power supplies. The infrastructure is going to fall apart. We're all going to die. The water is going to be polluted. You ain't going to have no water to drink. Your kids are going to get taken by the state. And it just goes on and on and on. into sheer ridiculousness that breeds paranoia unlike anything in the history of time, because we have access to all this information being flooded at us. I'm saying that since we have access to all this information, let's back off and use some common sense, get the visual of the overall picture, try to put things in perspective, and even disasters like Fukushima or the BP oil spill, resolutions, find out the chemistry, find out the actual what's actually occurring on ground, get all that information into something that we can finally make a decision on what needs to be done. Right now, I talk to people every single day who are talking about buying shipping containers and burying them in the ground and concreting them in to make doomsday bunkers because they think the world's coming to an end. And at this stage in the game, I couldn't tell you whether it is or it isn't. I can tell you personally that I get so doggone paranoid, I'm freaking the heck out because I don't know whether I'm coming or going. Should I build myself a bunker? Could I afford to build myself a bunker? Should I even worry about it all? According to my faith, God's got it all under control, and so I shouldn't even worry about it. You see what I mean? If this isn't a psychological mind screw of epic proportions via whatever the system is in reality, whether it be pure evil or governments run amok or international bankers trying to form a one world government, then I don't know what is.
Oh, but brainwashing.
Yeah. So, I'm not trying to sit out here and fear monger and doom and gloom. I'm trying to say that if the world is going over the falls in a barrel, or over to the over the cliff into the great abyss, never to be returned again, and all humanity is going to die of starvation and wars and sickness and everything else under the sun, and even including the sun, not excluding rocks flying in and smashing us from space. Dang it, man.
Yep.
It's got to come a point when Chicken Little has to shut the you-know-what up, because all we're hearing is the sky is falling and we're not hearing the resolutions to it.
All right, there you go. Shut the barn door and the cow's out.
Set fire to the barn so the cow don't come back.
Right.
I'm just trying to get some common sense perspective on it. You know, I'm a Christian, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my beliefs aren't based on something that is right. But what it does is it gives me my comfort that I got a creator that's got my back and stuff like that. And that's what I choose to believe. That's my lifestyle, and I try to live accordingly to it. But what I understand from my book is that, you know, these things must come to pass, and that's what it says. All right? Well, if we have an opportunity, you know, Jesus said, lest these days be numbers, these things will come to pass. And or lest these days be shortened or something like that, these things will come to pass. I have to look up the exact verse because I try to quote that all the time, but I never can remember the whole doggone thing. But essentially it told me that, you know, it's not over till the fat lady sings, so to speak, and no man knows the time or day, but we're not supposed to live in fear until that time comes around, and even then we're supposed to have faith that, you know, our Creator's going to have our back. You know? And so when you got pastors out there doing the prophets of doom gig as well, now, heck, man, if the seven horses of the apocalypse are riding the earth right now, we're in trouble. We either need to find some sort of redemption and get right with God, or we got to do like the doomsday and buy some containers and bunker in, concrete it down, get ready for all the zombie attacks and stuff.
Yeah.
You get my point?
Yeah, dude.
Stephen Gibbons typed in the chat room, this is where the doomsday mindset gets you. This is one of the contributors of that video you posted, which is on April 13, 2014. Michael Rupert was found dead in Napa County at home just outside the Calistoga, California city limits. Rupert died of a single self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. See? And you can't even come out and talk about it without being a potential target. Because the government don't want you talking about black ops projects. They don't want you talking about Planet X or running your car on water. If you fear your government, it's no longer a government. It's tyrannical. Doggone it. I fear my government. Does that mean my government's tyrannical? I fear my police departments. Does that mean they're tyrannical? I fear the people. Does that make the people tyrannical? I fear slipping on the doggone, slipping in the bathtub on a bar of soap and busting my head wide open. Does that make the soap tyrannical, or maybe the bathtub or the water that's in it? I can't continue to live the rest of my life in fear of every doggone thing under the sun. So I got to find some sort of resolution. Are we going to fix this world, or are we going to keep on letting them mess it up? Doggone it. You don't have to drop bombs on people all over the freaking planet. You don't have to shoot each other. You don't have to kill one another for land and resources and all that. What you need to do is learn how to live together in perfect harmony with yourselves and each other and nature. And you know, if there's a God, get right with God. If there's not a God, get right with one another. You know, if there was any words of wisdom to ever be spoken by any individual out there on the planet, with things from the past like Raymond talked about, or things from the future like the prophets of doom speak of, then we got to get our act together, folks. We seriously got to figure out ways to work with one another regardless of our religion, race, creed, or color, or political ideologies and all this kind of stuff. And we got to put the prophets of doom and the representatives of the world governments in perspective and put them in their place. If they're servants of the community, then their job is to serve, not to make us scared for our own safety. And maybe that makes me sound crazy. And I may very well be crazy. I may very well be the most paranoid planet that ever existed in the history of time. But because of the knowledge in my head of certain things, of how we could repair all kinds of things, and because of seeing the tide of, it's more than a tide, it's a tidal wave of fear just being spread across the land that makes everybody scared for their family safety in the future, and children get to the point where they don't even care anymore. They say the world's falling apart, so why even bother? Let's just party till we puke and then some. And people get to the point where they can't take it anymore and they kill themselves. They jump off of bridges. They hang themselves or poison themselves. Shoot themselves. Humanity ain't never going to get past this until we decide to wake up to common sense. That's what it's all about. And if life is a learning lesson, we're failing. We're failing miserably. We got things out there that one side of the crowd says we're going to die from, and nobody's addressing it but the people that are panicked about it. The governments ain't doing it, and the people who's actually in the middle of the mess, they say they can't do it because they don't know what to do because it's never been done before. That's when you should be reaching out to the world and all nations, to every single brilliant individual, anybody with even remotely a good idea, and saying, hey, look, all the best scientists in the world can't figure this out. You got any idea what we can do? You see what I mean, Raymond? That's where I'm trying to put some common sense on the table. I'm trying to say that if the world is as bad as what we've been told, then it's going to be up to us, we the people, to resolve it. And if you don't believe...
You have to put a thought. I had my mic muted.
Yeah.
I agree with you totally. Absolutely. But again, I mean, I'm tired of all the gloom and doom talk. Let's start talking solutions. You know? I mean, you and I have talked, and Scott and many others on this show, they've always tried to talk solutions.
We're talking solutions right now.
We've repeated words of other people that preach gloom and doom, but we're the only ones that I know of that try to come up with solutions. Come on, man.
Why are you
preaching gloom and doom? The only thing you're doing, you're being a fear monger. You're trying to get other people feared, afraid of this, afraid of that, and do things to help themselves, not the world, not the society of people on this earth. Come on, let's figure ways to where we can get together and solve things.
That's right. And that's what
it's solvable. That's the whole problem.
The solution.
But nobody's putting up anything to solve the problem.
We are. We always have been.
Look at solutions. We've already come up with a few.
The solution.
What happened with last Sunday on this same show? We come up with the solution. Let's start with a single footstep and make it a smile.
The first solution.
When you start somebody you don't even know, if you pay attention, close your eyes, pay attention, you get an energy surge that feels so good. And most of the time, more than half the time, the people will smile back, and you'll get an even larger, good-feeling energy surge throughout your whole body. It feels good. Smiles are contagious. Frowns are contagious.
That's right, Randy.
It takes 250 muscles less
Randy.
Than it does to frown. Why are you frowning? Because the fear mongers, these doomsday preachers, are getting you scared and you're, boom and doom. No, it's not boom and doom. We've got to start somewhere.
Right.
Start with the smile.
The very first solution out there is for everybody to begin to exercise common sense. Step back. Look at the entirety of the big picture. Get out of the rabbit hole for a second.
I smiled at a guy one time who evidently was a real negative type person. And it's happened twice in my life. I smiled at somebody I didn't even know. And he looked, what are you smiling at? The fact that I am alive.
Yeah. It's a plus.
I'm smiling at you because I can see that you are alive. So whatever problem you have in your life, being alive, you have the opportunity to change it.
The Prophets of Doom video was, like I said, it was aired on the History Channel, 2011 History Channel. And that, in one portion of the video, they said, within a year, we're going to see all these things start to happen, and they're going to continue to escalate. Well, we're in the year 2017, and it hasn't collapsed yet. Maybe it's being propped up artificially. Nonetheless, it bought us more time. And so I'm saying, before the whole system collapses, and while we still have access to the World Wide Web and all the information out there, let's utilize it with some common sense and keep spreading good messages across the deal. Actually, in the description of the video, at the very bottom, it said the men proposing these ideas are not crackpots living on the streets of New York. Now see, that just put a thorn in the side of all the different conspiracy theorists out there on the planet. Because if you ain't one of these highly well thought of people out there, then you're a crackpot. And maybe I'm a crackpot because I even brought the subject up. But I don't believe in 99% of what they said on there because of the way that they said it. If you're going to stand there and you're going to tell me during times of drought that we're all going to... you want to add Patty back in? If you're going to stand there and try to tell me during times of drought that, it's doom and gloom and we're all going to die of thirst because of the drought. Well, I'm going to look at you with a cross-eyed and a little bit of a ridiculous look on my face because I'm confused. Either you didn't pay attention in science class or you never heard of Dubai out there where they built their own island that they got skyscrapers on and they got their huge desalination plants that they, basically use to, get fresh water. And so they paid attention in science class and physics and stuff. So they should already know. You should already know. There shouldn't be no reason why that you're going to have this issue. You see what I mean? Yeah. You're not going to die of starvation, or you're not going to die of thirst on a world that is three quarters covered in water unless you don't get it. But the prophets of doom will have you believe that there is not going to be enough fresh water, that we're going to have wars over water, and we're going to have droughts and people dying of thirst all over the planet. The same thing would apply with diseases and food and everything under the sun. Now, doggone it, Thomas is trying to call in. Add him in the conversation. All right, so basically what I'm trying to get at is that when I first saw this video, I will add you to the call. I'm getting frustrated.
Okay.
All right, so... What I'm trying to get at, once I saw this video documentary about the prophets of doom and talking about all the doomsday scenarios that are potential, but from everything from financial collapse to running out of oil and water and every single scenario that you've heard all over throughout the entire conspiratorial world. And then I looked out there in YouTube to see all the different people that were also in the alternative community talking about the same episodes. The only place out here on the internet that I have ever heard any solutions once the doomsday prophecy or whatever was talked about was here on Shaziz Radio. That is the only place that I have ever heard anybody talk about it. I've heard on TCT Radio, who's pretty much of like mine, the same kind of things. But in the alternative community, in the mainstream media, in all the governments of the world, where the most brilliant minds are supposed to be, the people that are supposed to be the representatives, the servants, the people who are out there to look out for everybody's best interest, it was only the average Joe like Tom and Raymond and Patty and Steven and Barry and people that show up out here to discuss this thing that ever showed that there's a possibility there. There's this material here that we could use to resolve this issue over there, or there is information out here to fix this problem over here. And I don't understand why mainstream media hasn't basically done the same thing what I'm doing right now, taking the Prophets of Doom documentary to task and saying, okay, well, if you're thinking we're going to run out of oil, why is it like Stephen Gibbons mentioned in there that NASA puts out a deal, says that they found hydrocarbons on a planet, Titan, or one of Saturn's moons, Titan, or something like that, that basically shows that there's probably fossil fuels on Titan, if that's what you believe fossil fuels are, which to me is pure ridiculousness, because we're all carbon-based life forms, and if there's carbon-based life forms on that planet, or there are dinosaurs there too. What came first, the La Brea tar pits or the oil from the dinosaurs?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Hi, Patty. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, but I can't. It's breaking up a little bit, so I'm not quite sure. I heard dinosaurs.
I asked the question, what came first, the La Brea tar pits, the dinosaurs, or the oil? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I need to hang up and come back in.
All right, give that a shot.
I can't. Yeah, I find it hard.
Back in,
really hard. Okay.
All right, so anyway. Hi, Thomas. Are you there? Well, I see his picture, but he's not here. Thomas, what came first, the La Brea tar pits, dinosaurs, or crude oil?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well, Well, they said they found dinosaurs in the La Brea tar pits. What is tar? Excuse me. Anyway.
I need a sample or something to really be sure. So.
Does it have anything to do with crude oil?
I think they'd call it crude oil if it was crude oil.
Oh. Well.
I told you before. My theory on the difference between coal deposits and oil deposits is that water got trapped with it versus no water getting trapped with it and it drying out.
All right. Well, anyway, regardless, the prophets of doom say we're going to run out of oil. All right. The prophets of doom say the world financial system's going to collapse. The water supplies are going to go. We're overpopulated. We're all going to starve to death and die. And the common sense people look out there and they say, look, hey, they just spilled a whole lot of oil in the deal. And then the result was that they decided they were going to put dispersant out there. And we don't think that's a very good idea because if it breaks down oil, then it's probably not going to help the fish out any. The prophets of doom would tell you that, the water supply, the whole entire ocean is basically polluted. You know, the common sense individual would look at the situation and say, yeah, we got a mess going on over there, but we got to find some sort of resolution because if we allow it to happen, yeah, it's going to be a self-fulfilled prophecy. If we allow this crud to keep being poured in and if we allow the incident that's happening over there in Japan with the, radioactive water and the potential radioactive materials making it into the water and causing an ecological damage of epic proportions, which to some people it may already be occurring because there's been a lot of reports about fish going belly up and whales beaching themselves and so on down the line. There's tons of videos out there on mass die-offs of animals. And I say that it ceases to be a conspiracy when birds start dropping from the sky. Well, why are they dropping from the sky? Could it have anything to do with any of the trillions of antennas that's being popped up, jacking with their navigational system, or maybe, whatever crud that they're spraying in the air under the so-called guise of either global warming or hiding Planet X behind a cloud or whatever, cooling the planet down?
To me, would microwaves demagnetize a magnet?
Not that I'm aware of.
Because a lot of birds supposedly use some kind of magnetism in their brain to follow the pulses of gravity.
Well, you ask, would it demagnetize a magnet? It would interact with any magnetic field. Any frequency will interact with any magnetic field. But
in the bird's brain, the used magnetism of North and South Pole could possibly be interfered with by the microwave.
Sure. And sonar and radar could do the same thing for the fishes. So the fish.
I'm not saying that's what's going on, but I'm saying it does. It sounds plausible.
It is. It is plausible. If you're sending a wave out, that's close enough to the signal that the dolphin uses to navigate via sonar or sound or even magnetic the ley lines of the earth or the magnetic field of the earth and using that to be able to go from north to south and be able to find their way around the ocean, and you're sending out signals that's interrupting that, it might look to them like north is this way, and they swim up this way and end up getting bunched up into a cove and run out of oxygen and die. You know,
right.
Any of these are possibilities, and those are things that we need to learn how to work with nature and realize, hey, this is why this is happening. You know, there's a reason why they tell you not to stand too close to a radio tower. Because your body's got water in it, and water is a dipole molecule, and microwaves, radio waves even, will interact with water molecules, which essentially you'll get burns, and possibly death.
Being cooked.
Yeah. But see, these radio networks that I've talked about, like Patty's Radio Network, TCT Radio, her chat room, by the way, folks listening out there, is also in the super chat room, so you can get in there and talk to them as well, and there's a link to her radio show. But these are the only people that I hear out here talking about possible solutions. And this information should be going out to all the people, the representatives of the world, if things are as bad as what we've been told, then by God, you should be grasping at any straw and grabbing up any brilliant mind out there to try any potential natural remedy to the mess that mankind is making all over the planet. You know, common sense dictates the food chain collapses. Guess what? We're part of that. I don't want to be no doggone doom and gloomer. I don't want to be a prophet of doom. Maybe I am to some extent a prophet of doom. You know, maybe by just bringing it up and trying to explain to people that these are potential hazards in the world. But I can tell you from experience that all the research that I've done in every single direction, I'm not hearing people talk about what we can do to repair it. But I'm hearing a lot of people talking about, and have been talking about for years, that the world is coming to a freaking end, and either it's a psychological mind screw of epic proportions, or it's a serious episode that the governments of the world have lost so much control over that it's just, you know, all in all out chaos.
You know, this July the 15th, I turned 73 years old.
Yep.
From the day I can remember, I actually have a brain large enough to see things and hear things and remember them. I don't remember a single time in my life that somebody somewhere wasn't preaching gloom and doom. Some even tried to predict the actual year that it would happen. Some, as close as the month. Some, a few, actually predicted the year, date, and month. I mean, but it never happened. Oh, sure, there were events, catastrophic events, but it didn't wipe out the face of the earth. So I have no faith whatsoever in anybody predicting gloom and doom in the future.
Well, the whole point of the deal is to get people to start, you know, coming out of the doggone matrix, the rabbit hole, to common sense.
Can I do a little bit of something?
Huh?
I have a lot of faith in highly educated people that have studied the past, the history of the world and society and mankind. I do have a lot of faith in those, because history, if you do not study it, you are doomed to repeat it.
Those...
Look at Rome, the great empire of Rome. It fell. Why? For the same reason the United States right now is going downhill.
Those folks you just described...
They have no idea what's going on in the United States. Why are we going downhill?
Those folks...
Same daggone thing that Rome did.
Those folks that you described were the ones who were in the video Prophets of Doom. Those are the folks that studied history and business and all the stuff that brought them to the conclusions that they did. But in the process of their conclusions, they based their evidence off of not just past history, but science that, in my view, some of the science is flawed.
See, here's the thing. There's people that preach gloom and doom, not on a global scale, but like, for example, the fall of the United States, they say we're going downhill, and they explain why. It's history. People don't know. The reason Rome fell was that immigrants started coming to Rome because it was a big city, rich, and they wanted part of the riches. And they came in illegal. And the politicians passed laws that said they could vote. Okay? So, and then they started taking money from the rich to feed the poor immigrants. The next thing you know, the rich weren't rich anymore, or they just plain backed out. I mean, there's nothing wrong with immigration. To where the people can come here, work, and pay their taxes. And you don't give them a daggone thing for free. You give anybody something for free, three times. And the fourth time, in their mind, their heart, their every fiber of their being, you owe it to them. You cannot give anybody something for free. The only thing you do is give them for free a chance to better themselves. Not to support them.
Well, the chance to better themselves, as far as I'm concerned, is going to come from the average Joe and helping them get educated in you know, real science and real you know, real ways to study and look out there at the world. I mean, you, look, when I first started off on this doggone journey that we're on right now, I thought the whole doggone thing is coming unglued because I'm looking out there and everybody and his brother is telling me that it's all over. We're screwed. There ain't nothing. We bunker in. Go buy yourself some doggone steel containers. Bury them underground because the elite are going underground. They got million and billion dollar doomsday shelters, and I'm the average Joe, and I'm like, well, I guess that kind of leaves me out because I can't even afford a shipping container. So I guess when it all comes down to it, I got to keep my faith in God because that's all I got. I ain't got the money to build a doomsday bunker. What I'm trying to do is steer this boat into a different direction. Had I been standing on the deck of the Titanic and I saw that doggone iceberg, and I told them, or even I thought there was a potential, and they're speeding up in the dark, I would have been down there telling the doggone captain, look, brother, I know you think you know how to ride this boat, but you're riding around in some places where there are some big chunks of ice out there, and this ship isn't as bad to the bone as you think it is. It's going to sink if it hits a rock or a big chunk of ice. I've been speaking common sense back to them just like I'm trying to speak to the world right now. We are going over the falls in the barrel. And we need to make sure that when we land, we the people are braced for impact because we're not the ones in control of all this mess. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I have something to add to this.
Go ahead, Patty.
We talk about immigration, and it is an issue. It is a problem. Because when you have a large influx of immigration, it taxes any system. But if you want to actually cure the problem of immigration, then you have to look at what is causing the immigration. If it is because it's a war-torn country, then there's your problem. The immigration is a result of the problem. We gotta stop bombing cities and innocent people and making them fear. If the problem of immigration is the influx into your country simply because you offer them the ability to better themselves, to step up, then fix the problem in their country.
That's
what
brilliant.
What we're looking at is not a human problem. It is a control problem. It is a deliberate control problem. The way that governments are run across the globe, they are run to make sure that there is a profit for the elite and that the little people pay as much as they can possibly squeeze out of them to make sure the elites keep their footing. Now, if we change the rules, if we change the way governments are formed, governments are run, and what they represent to the people, then we see a change in those people. You know, education, healthcare, food, electricity, and these things are essential to every living being on this earth. To deny, to have a government and to set it up to work for the people and then deny the very people that you say you're going to represent these necessities of life because they don't have hard currency, because you tax them to the point or you destroy their countries with bombs, and then say that they're the problem, that they're the straw on the camel's back that's taking the country down. That's ludicrous. There are, like you said, Shaziz, these doomsayers will get up there and they'll tell you, they'll point and they'll say, here's the problem, there's the problem. It's their problem, not your problem. Your problem is the people pointing the fingers.
Yeah, and it's not
those
just
are the people.
And it's not
you need.
It's not just the bombs. It's the way that we do trade with other people. You know, including the illegal drug trade. They said there was a war on drugs. Well, that war didn't stop at drugs. It was on the people. And now you got crime lords over in different parts of let's say Mexico, for instance. There's all kinds of different drug lords out there fighting for power because there's a big industry of shipping drugs all over the place. And you know, that could have been nipped in the bud. Prime example is this. Back during the time when they did prohibition here in the United States, where they made it illegal to have alcohol or sell alcohol, they basically started off a black market where they had speakeasies where you go down in there and you have some your booze and stuff. And it was all kept on a download. You had to have a secret word to even get in. Well, they created enough problems with that black market, people fighting over power and who was going to get the money off of it, that they eventually was forced to bring it back to being legal again because it got so far out of hand that it was basically destroying society as we know it. Am I wrong?
But you know, these black markets are also engineered. The people who create these systems that force these black markets open, they utilize these black markets.
Sure.
They are the ones, they create these different profiles so that they can point the finger and say, see, we have a problem with drugs.
Yep.
They're not going to tell you that we set this whole system up so that it would end up being just what you're looking at, that people are trying en masse to get out of Mexico because they have no way to live and because the drug lords are killing their people left and right, and the government is in collusion with the drug lords, and so are the police forces and the militaries. They're in cahoots with them, some of them because they fear that if they're not, they're going to die, and others because there's money in it. So the little people have nowhere to go. Of course they're going to run to the next country. I would. I was in that country and I couldn't raise my children, if my children's lives were at stake every time they walked out the door, don't you bet that I would be packing backpacks and we would head on out.
Yeah.
I would not stay there. This is engineered.
So
the governments are the culprits here.
So the resolution to get all this is we got one heck of a mess going on, and it's not something that's going to be able to be cleaned up overnight, but we got to figure out ways by which we can keep the average Joe motivated enough to keep their representatives and their law enforcement held accountable for all the shenanigans. And we got to be able to educate the average Joes in communities to be able to protect themselves and do the same things with their governments. And we got to be able to support these people while they're going through the miserable process of trying to regain control. These people talk about all the time, destabilization of nations, to overthrow some evil dictator that they say is an evil dictator. Saddam Hussein, Gaddafi, all these guys, you know, they bucked the system. They said they didn't want to take American dollar anymore. They wanted gold. And the next thing you know, they went from buddies of the U.S. to terrorists, and we had to go over there and kick their butts. Here in the United States, you're afforded a trial by jury, supposedly. Well, he didn't get no trial by jury because he wasn't in the United States. They murdered that man in the streets. Literally. All right? And our leaders, like Hillary Clinton, was sitting there wringing her hands all in glee and joy and saying, oh, we came, we saw, and he's dead, you know. And that sickened me to the core, because even if he was supposedly a bad guy, you just took a human life and you applauded over it. You found joy in your heart because somebody died. That's not the kind of representation we need. We need people with common sense that are going to come out there and they're going to find solutions, ways to educate one another, to support one another. It's too late to support your neighbor after the apocalypse. You're going to be in fear of your neighbor by that time if he doesn't know what was going on to begin with. People that were normally nice guys or gals would do some terrible things in worst case scenario. So I agree with you, Patty. My family, it was in a mess like that, I'd want to come to America. Even though I know I heard America's messed up, I'm coming to America because at least everybody ain't getting murdered on a daily basis or having their heads chopped off by somebody who believes that they're on some sort of holy war.
Well, and I am an anarchist in the truest sense of the word. I don't need a government to tell me what is right and wrong, to create laws on everything that I do, to tax me and take my money and not tell me where it goes and not care that I want to know. I don't need a government that is part of the lobbyists who are killing us in the healthcare industry, who are killing us in the aviation industry, who are killing us in the resource industries that we have. All of these things that our governments are bringing to us and putting in our lap and saying, pay for this because we're going to do it. I don't agree with any of that. I don't agree with any of it. I have a better way. 99% of the people that I talk with have a better way of doing things. So what good is government doing for me? What good is government doing for you? What good is government doing for anyone? We need to seriously ask that question and stop thinking that these governments are the do-all and be-all, that we can't function without it. I'm not saying there should not be any type of leadership. I'm not saying that. Leaders are good. Rulers are bad. If there is a leader, then that leader is going to get a consensus, and he's going to act within that consensus. He's going to allow all the people to have a voice, all the people to have discussion and debate to find the best ways forward. We have governments that are simply there,
yes,
as a corridor for corporations and greed. That's all they are. Every law they pass is for a corporation. Everything they do is for a corporation. And now these governments are putting hooks into every individual. They have crashed the system so that we have high unemployment. We have people who want to work who can't work, but you don't hear that from the government. All you hear from the liberals saying, we want more on the tax dole. We want more for entitlement. That's not the way to go. That's no way to go. And then you have the Republicans, the other guys, talking about, no, we got to cut them all off. We got to cut the government off. And we've got to start realizing that we are the ones that are operating under a banner of intelligence, of logic. We see what needs to be done. We know what's wrong. So does the government. They made it that way. They're not going to change, ever. There will never be a government that will represent the people, because the government will cease to function if they do. We need leaders. We don't need these people standing over us as rulers telling us that we will obey or else, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Charles Two Dog wants to join today, if you guys could pull him in.
Cool.
He's over there. And at one point here, I'll say something. As soon as you give me a minute, she says.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hard to get a word in with you two going, man. Holy Uggs fade, Batman. Charles mentioned. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Patty. Yeah, until the whole system is taken apart, we'll never see a change, because there isn't a government in the world today that's actually working for the people, with maybe the exception of a country like Iceland, where I see a catastrophic change in the way government's being done. But the rest of the world's all on the same agenda. We see exactly what's going on worldwide. And it's the same story no matter what country you look at. Every country is going down the exact same path right now. In Canada, our country has become taken over by a government that is completely rogue. What our government is doing in Canada right now has literally millions of Canadians at a point where our blood is boiling. And we didn't vote for this, but it's all being shoved down our throat now, and it's part of a globalist agenda to destabilize Western society. That's where we're going. If we, the way to beat that is, it, that's a monumental question, because most of society is indoctrinated and controlled by government, and they have no choice. People living in big cities that are in their jobs, that have their life, that have their little bubble, it's very, very hard for them to step out of that and completely walk away from the system. If you're living rurally, it's a little bit easier to actually walk away from the system, but most of society is being compartmentalized in big cities. We see that push in society in the last 10 years to get people off the land into the cities, and that makes people very, very easy to control. So to break it, that is a monumental challenge to the human race.
Can you add two dogs?
Whether we can do that or not, I don't know. Can you bring them in there, Patty? I can add them if you want.
Yeah, you add them, Barry.
Anyways, that's a few things I wanted to say. I'll let somebody else make a comment.
Yeah, well, I can't disagree with none of you on any of the points. We got one heck of a mess going on. But the reason why I wanted to bring this Prophets of Doom video to the table was, look, man, there's only so much that the human mind and spirit can withstand. When you look at all this information and you try to absorb it and put it into perspective, it wasn't for you guys and gals like you talking about this on the Knights of the Round Table with possible solutions, I would think that there ain't no hope for anything. And I'd have gave up a long time ago. But because I found people like you that have answers and solutions, I want to put together a platform that everybody can bring these solutions to the table, and hopefully it would resonate enough out there that more people would come and listen and share the information and podcast, because I feel the urgency just like all of you. When I see environmental disasters going on, I get concerned. I'm not a doomsdayer by any means. I don't have a bunker to run up in. I don't have the finances to even build a bunker. So if it comes down, I'm relying on my faith, my Lord, to protect me, and hopefully I'm right, and that'll work. But meantime, while we have the opportunity, since no man's supposed to know the time or day to the death or life or whatever comes like a thief in the night, I'm saying until doomsday gets here, we should be taking care of each other in the world, and we should be not relying on the past political system that has done nothing but destroy what we hold dear. Am I wrong? I mean, that's the best I can do.
Hey, that whole governmental system, you say it's done nothing but bad for everything, but it has taught us one thing. Look for the gun. Anytime somebody brings a deal to you, look for the gun.
Yeah.
If there's a gun involved, it's not a deal. It's a mugging. If there's any threat, they're going to pull a gun out to force you to do something that they've asked you to do. They're not asking. They're forcing you to do it. And if you get told, well, how did that road feel when you drove on it? How did that food taste to you when you ate it? You have to ask them, well, did I have a choice of taking it, or did I have a choice to do something else? Because when you're inside of a country where you're being forced to do things by a government, it's no different than being a kidnapped victim who's locked in a basement and then being told to be grateful for the food they keep giving you.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, do you guys remember about a month ago they passed a new law in a lot of states that you can't wear a mask at a protest. And do you know that there was a guy walking down the street? He did have a sword. He had a Joker face paint on. He looked like the Joker. He wasn't bothering anybody. He was just walking up and down the street, right? He is being charged with wearing a mask, which is a felony that will get him up to 5 years in prison. Now tell me how the laws of the government are beneficial to the people.
Well, here's the point of fact is that if you look at the modern day police department, when they go in on a raid, they, or even out there watching protesters, they too are wearing masks. So to me, if you're a police officer and you got to hide behind a mask, then I have to ask the question, what are your intentions? It can't be good if you don't want me to know who you are. Am I wrong?
It's all about monopoly, though, man. That's why they're trying to deregulate guns. I mean, regulate guns so you're not allowed to own them, but they are. They get to have the gun, you don't. They get to have the mask, you don't. They get to have the force, you don't.
And when they want to come and get the guns, they'll know exactly where you are.
Yeah.
And what you got.
And this is the problem. We have let this worm into our mind and continue to let us let them do what they do because we keep obeying them. We have been trapped in our mind. If you want to break that trap, just literally, you need to personally stop obeying them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying go out and go crazy and start shooting people and killing people or attacking government.
That's exactly
what you don't want to do because you're trying to break the chain. You stop obeying them.
Absolutely.
And start doing what's right. Work without force.
Absolutely.
Solutions that people do because they want to do it, not because you're forcing them to do it.
I agree. We had another honorable knight of the round table join us. Two Dog, how you doing, brother? Hello?
You know, if they ever pass a law that is successful in controlling guns, the only two types of people that will have guns will be the law and the criminals.
The criminals.
Yep.
Yep. And that's where the common sense comes in. That's where the common sense comes into play, you know. I would like to see a world without guns and bombs and stuff like that, but I know that we're not there yet. We can't say...
Hey, huh? The problem right now,
the only law that you could pass on gun control that would truly have the possibility of working would be that anybody that commits a crime with a weapon, a powder-actuated weapon like a gun, gets life in prison. Anyone that actually kills another human, they are put to death.
Well, see, I'm not even talking about control. My scenario is like the utopian version where nobody's got a reason to fight anymore. That kind of deal. That's what I'm saying. But
right. Hey, Shaziz?
Yeah.
Raymond?
Yeah.
You know why they won't do that? What Raymond suggested? They would run out of prison room so fast it'd make your head spin and they'd have to let go of all the people who are smoking plants and eating things that they're told they're not allowed to, or they're going to lock them up. They have to deregulate all those laws and let those people go.
You know how big the Nevada desert is?
Yeah, and do you know how privatized the U.S. prison system is? I mean, you've got corporations building prisons now.
You cannot walk to the outside
for years. And you got the government putting them in there. You got the government bringing the drugs into the United States of America. You got the court systems breaking before you walk in there. The corporations that are building these prisons get a percentage for every person that's in there. They got to keep that capacity. So they fabricate rules and break the law. They put people in jail and they make billions of dollars. The judge gets paid off. The lawyer gets paid off. It is corrupt. The whole system, right from top to bottom, is.
Well, and it creates a need for. Expensive drugs because people can't get it except whenever they get it illegally, so that drops the price up.
Well, of course, if you're controlling the inflow of the drugs, you control the price.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
They've been doing this to the American people for years.
No, listen. If you're controlling the inflow of the drugs, what's the best thing for you? If you're the one that's in control of it, drive the price up. Drive the price up. Same way they do with food. Destroy that crop. Silo it and don't sell it. You know,
exactly.
You go ahead and grow it. Here's some money. Just put it on a shelf. You know, that way we can drive the price up.
And then you've got what's going on now, where you have states that are actually legalizing the use of pharmaceutical marijuana. You know, Monsanto. If you were paying attention when all of this first started cropping up with Colorado and California.
Yep,
Monsanto was busy getting their patent in. So if we're looking and we're watching, then we say, hey, they knew this was coming. So,
and who gives them the right to patent a plant?
Well, then we have the reasoning behind that that says, oh, so this is a government control because the government will not legalize it. So they've got they're getting all kind of people coming out and getting on the medical marijuana bandwagon and everything, and the state is happy about this because the influx of money, and the government is happy because, hey, we can put these people in jail. that is more money for the corporations and more money for us.
Yes, so, and meanwhile, Monsanto is genetically modifying the cannabis plant and taking the good stuff out of it. So what you're going to get in pharmaceutical grade cannabis through a dispensary is garbage. And that's where they're going. They don't want the healing benefits of this plant put out there. They'll get behind it. They'll we're put it on the market. Here, you guys can have it. Well, it's not doing anything to anybody. We'll wonder why. Because right now, as we speak, they're genetically modifying it. And the product that's going to hit the market is nothing compared to what the earth actually provides.
Well, you can't.
Watch out, guys.
You can't improve on nature. Nature's already got things the way nature should be. You tamper with nature, nature's going to fight back, or you're going to lose. Period. The whole thing about what we're seeing out here in the world is, like I said, we now got like 6 billion individuals sitting here on this panel who have done tons and tons of research searching alternative methods for everything under the sun. We all are, most of us on this panel are old enough that have seen things change in our society in the way that it concerns us, to the extent we're actually sitting out here talking about it, hoping to put some common sense on the table to get people to the table, or at least here to listen, or to share one of these podcasts with somebody and tell them, look, there are options available. We can fix this thing, but it's going to come a time, where's the straw that broke the camel's back? Some would say it already has happened, and we're already on our downhill run, and I'm saying if we are on the downhill run, if everybody and his brother ain't putting their foots on the brake, then we ain't got no options but to ride it out. And I don't want to have to ride it out with my family. I don't want to have to build a doomsday bunker. You see what I mean?
Well, we have to look at the options that we have in this situation. We have to say, is there any way that we can protest to the government and they will make the changes we need? We know that's a negative. Is there any way that we can get elected officials to actually do what the people want? No, that's not going to happen. Look at the history. So what options do we have?
Well,
we can either rise up in mass with our guns, take the government down, or attempt to take the government down, in which case the UN moves in, NATO moves in, and we lose. Because it doesn't matter how many guns you got, theirs are bigger. And they have more people. So, that's not an option to me. So, what is our option?
Well,
our option seems to be only one thing, Shaziz, and that's to start developing a system outside of this system that works for people by introducing these alternatives in real life and putting them into play so that people can be empowered.
Yeah.
I see that as the only way,
well,
you know, of effectively stepping out of the system, because we are the system. Once we step out, the system doesn't have anywhere to go but down. We are the ones who beat it.
Thomas explains it all the time in his own way about, you know, basically, as long as we're using their money source, you know, we give them a lot of power. I mean, whether we like it or not,
right.
Power, the money is in the power. You follow the money, you find the power. And if you stop basically filling up their wallets, then that's a step in the right direction. But the biggest step that I'm thinking that we needed to do, like you're talking about, is empowering the people to not only believe in themselves, but to understand that there are other alternatives than what we, you know, feeding the beast of the system that's eating us alive. We don't have to collapse the system. We don't even have to rise up against them in a violent fashion. You know, we could literally do like you said and build a society right along theirs, people to people, information to information. The trade, the barter, it's been done before, and when the system does collapse, sure, it might be uncomfortable, lights might be off for a while, but we'll turn the lights back on, because that's what we do. We're brilliant individuals who have done research in alternative energy and alternative medicines. We know all these things. And we got to get people out there in this world to know all these things. Sure, you're going to have tons and tons of people who are just going to be flat out lazy, who are going to sit on the fence while the war is going on and see who wins, and that's the side that they'll follow from that point on. But if we do nothing, if we say nothing, if you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done. You see what I mean?
Well, yeah, and you've got one more thing, Barry, that I wanted to make a point on. Taking away the money from the system will get you the same thing that Libya got you.
Sure. Well, I'm not saying just go up there and put them in the broke house right out of the gate. That's not what I'm trying to say, because obviously that's going to crash the system right out of the gate. I'm talking about from this point on, spending your money wisely and supporting those folks out there that you know are doing the right thing and not supporting those that you know are doing the wrong thing. Thomas even talked about a perpetual boycott, where you go from one business to the next and then work your way around and back to the other one again until they bring the prices down in that aspect. But
Hey, you got to focus on something. You left something out. You're talking about one type of business, like the oil industry, boycotting one oil company at a time. That way you still have the other three or four remaining to buy from to keep your business going, because otherwise you just boycott them all. They know eventually you're going to run out of gas. You've got to have it to get around. So they will just wait you out, because they've only got a week or two to wait.
Yeah.
A revolving boycott, if you stop and start boycotting one company, you can boycott that company into perpetuity. And you still have multiple companies that are going to be competing for your dollars. So you're not having to worry about the price of gas going up too much.
Yeah. So, Two Dog, you there?
Yes, I am, dude.
So what do you think about all this?
How are you guys?
Pretty good, yourself?
Well, I'm working as hard for my little nation as we can go right now with all this going on. What we got is what I'm saying. If you know anybody in your particular hood, start meeting your neighbors. Community garden in your community. In other words, we're going to have to tribe up, and that's everybody within this thing. Now, I have marched on you have to get louder constantly. And believe me, my friends, I have been loud in my young time. The fact is, these people that are pushing this, as far as all these companies, the oil companies and all this, America's become
Everybody mute your mic, because Charles is cutting out real bad.
Nation anymore, really. They're a corporate man. They don't care. They're doing it enough to me. Now, what I'm saying is, you have community guards. You know people.
Well,
in your community that has knowledge to help sustain. Okay, so use everybody's intelligence to work in my whoever knows what, let them do that and work together. Tribe up is what I'm thinking. Just watching all this mess.
Yeah, and I like the whole concept of community gardening, because, you know, like, for example, there's a lot of homeless people in just about every community out there. And it's a shame that they can't, have the things that they need to survive. My friend Dublin over there, I think he's in Spain now, he coined the phrase guerrilla charity, where essentially you run by and hand somebody a sandwich and then run off, you know, and it's like, who was that masked man? And I think that's brilliant. And growing gardens in the community not only brings the people together to help out, but it also provides a food source for those folks that find themselves to be misfortune enough to be homeless, you know. And when you got societies that are willing to throw people in jail for feeding the homeless, that to me is pure ridiculousness, you know.
Hey, Shaziz, to expand on what he said before you get too far away, on what you said about guerrilla charity, and he's talking about community gardens, before you wander too far away from those two subjects, why not tie them together and do guerrilla gardening anywhere you're not allowed, legally allowed to garden? You just get handfuls of seeds, and if you want to be really clever, you can literally take a little bit of mud and manure and seeds and let them dry out after you make little patties out of them, and then make little seed bombs.
Yeah.
That way you can toss them into places you can't get to physically, but you'll still get a food source that's growing there.
I like it. I love it, man. While you're out on your jog, put a pocket full of seeds and plant them, man. Everywhere.
Let me say this, and I'll back up just once. And I'll let you guys go, but let me say this just once. The fact that my spirituality is Metakwa Osios, and we're all related, black, white, yellow, red, we're all the human being here, every one of us. So everybody's brothers and sisters, whether they like to know it or not, under one creator. I just happen to call mine different name than yours. That's all, same creator. Now, what I'm trying to state, this is exactly what I'm trying to say. We don't need to hate each other because there's some kind of religious difference or there's some kind of ethnic background difference. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. Now, what we got is we got a nation of immigrants right now worried about immigration. Oh, my God. But the fact of the matter is, I had my child come up to me one time when she was real little, and she asked me, okay, if something happens after you that I have to deal with, what did you do? How did you fight it? Just saying.
Well, That's what basically, when I talk about throwing positive pebbles in the pond and us being the founding fathers and the mothers and sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles and so on of our children, our children's children's future, what we do today will definitely, without a doubt, define the world that they live in tomorrow. So I'm saying we're putting down the paving stones for them. We're like the Johnny Appleseeds of the future, so to speak, because we may not ever see the fruits of our labor. But if we plant those seeds today and we allow those in the future to have a chance to know that there is a such thing as freedom and peace and love and hope in the world, if we're not going to sit here and talk about this, and we're not even going to say anything or even make an attempt to enact solutions out there, then the future is doomed. And the prophets of doom, they said it right. The whole world's going to collapse. I don't think that we have to go down that road. I think that if we do what we're doing now and we start educating and helping one another and sharing resources and research with one another like we've been doing on these radio networks for so long. I know Charles does it in his neighborhood with his community, and I know that Patty does as well. Jermaine's still young. He's meeting new people, but he's out there researching, and he's going to be one of the future inventors of the world. Thomas has done research, and Raymond's done research. I've done research. We're out here. We're sharing freely with the world in hopes that we can make a better way for everybody. And when you see something wrong in the system, such as people starving or people getting thrown in jail for for feeding the hungry, or trying to help out the homeless, even when you hear your brothers and sisters say, don't give that man with that sign no money, he's just going to buy drugs or alcohol, don't listen to him. Just follow your heart and do what you know in your mind is true. You know, go out there and feed the hungry. Go out there and shelter the homeless. Do what you can with what you have to work with. That's the best that you can do. Nobody's asking you to save the world and put all the burdens of the entire earth on your back alone. That's why we're here. We're helping you. We're going to help you hold that dang world up. We're going to make it better. One little piece at a time, you know. These podcasts are important. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be doing this show, honestly. But I also have to point out, whenever it gets to the part where you got a video, like I said, this video came out in 2011. It was aired on the Discovery Channel. And I can tell you stories of Y2K and other doomsday prophecies that I've heard throughout my entire life. I believe that we have free will. I believe we have choice. I believe that the creator of this earth basically put down everything necessary, and that if we take care of nature, nature will smile upon us and take care of us as well. I believe that if we take care of one another without all the bombs and the guns and the craziness, that someday along the line, we can meet that goal of a perfect world. It is possible. You know, right now, it doesn't look plausible. It doesn't even look probable. But it is possible. If you can speak it, if you can think it, if you can dream it, it is possible that we can resolve these issues. And it's going to take common sense. It's going to take a whole lot of love, a whole lot of patience with those that just don't seem to get it. I'm not going to sit here and allow people to try to tell me that the world is doomed until the world is doomed. My faith says that no man knows the time, day, or hour, that he'd come like a thief in the night. Just the same way as if you don't believe in God, you don't know when you're going to die. It might be the next second. It might be the next 20 years. Meanwhile, every day you wake up, there's a new sunrise, and it's a new clean slate, a chance for you not to repeat the mistakes of the past and move forward and teach those around you how to live life better by your actions, by leading by example, and doing the things that you know in your heart is true and right. I believe that's what all you guys believe. And I'm...
To this, I'm going to say this real easy, okay? If you think it can't work, I got three people coming to set with me in May. One is from Wiltshire over in England. They're coming. I got a cousin from the Eastern Band. He's coming down as far as the Eastern Band, Salagi, Cherokee people. And I got a diplomat from the Māori out in New Zealand. They'll all be here at the same day. And here's what I'm saying. If we can all sit down like this in peace, as far as four different nation types of people, and set with honor and respect, love, honor, and respect, and peace, which we do. I've met them several times now since I was selected to this position of mine. If we can do that, everybody can do that if they want to. There's no need for these war dogs.
That's right.
There's no need for it.
That's
why we need to help each other around the world. We need to barter. Don't you know how to do that? Or have you tribally forgot?
Yep.
We all were tribal people at one time. That includes the white man. No disrespect.
I don't find any disrespect in it because I got Cherokee blood flowing through my veins. I got...
Here's what I'm saying. I've got four different nations coming to set with me. There will be four different nations setting with me in May. And if we do this, and we do it this easy, and this nice, and this way back, and this peaceful, why can't the world do it? Because I tell you why. Peace is so easy to do. They don't want peace, man.
That's right. And
they don't
times,
want it. It's like...
A lot of times peace isn't profitable, and those that want to make money, they don't mind. There's a video out there, a movie that I saw a long time ago about a guy that was selling guns to war-torn countries. He was selling to both sides of the fence. He didn't care who was killing who.
I got two things to say. There's a band called Maggot Death that had a song out that said peace sells, but who's buying? It don't seem like anybody's buying. And I don't mean no disrespect, but in my time, I've never been a racist individual. Black, white, yellow, red, you're all my relations, okay? I've always been like this. But since the American election, somebody actually come up and told me that I was a racist because I didn't support Jesus Christ that is in the White House. I just wanted you to know that. So, only thing I'm doing is praying for that individual.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know Jesus Christ made it to the White House.
What does Jesus Christ have to do with race anyway? Has nothing to do with race. Has everything to do with religion.
I know.
But, you know, that's...
He hates everybody, for God's sake.
Well, in other words, the man that called you a racist because you weren't a Christian was an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm just
ignorance is at pandemic proportions.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to fight against. You know, the best weapon against ignorance is common sense. Peace, hope, and love, that kind of stuff. So,
myself, I would actually love to see Jesus Christ in the White House.
Me too, brother.
We need to...
Well, I think a lot of people would be really surprised by the color of his skin.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, there's lots of history in that one, Tom.
Yeah, if he ever came, when he comes back, the last thing he's going to be interested in is government.
I agree.
Jesus is an anarchist. I'm just saying.
Well, however it all plays out, basically I'm trying to bring it down to this. We all need to learn how to make the best out of a bad situation and try to steer the Titanic away from the iceberg before the crash. So that we're not trying to sit by and watch or figure out, you know, let all the women and children in the lifeboats. And see, we didn't pre-plan on this trip, and we didn't put enough lifeboats out there for everybody so that everybody could be safe. That's what we're trying to do, is throw the life preservers and the common sense out there so everybody has a chance, you know, from every nation. Doggone it, folks.
Well, you know, Shazam's out. Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I want to share a couple thoughts.
Go ahead.
Realistically, at this point in my life, and I really kind of go by what my Bible tells me about the end times of this earth. And this is how I'm kind of living my life now, and I shouldn't say kind of. This is how I live my life now. To me, the most important thing that we can do is get the people to connect with a spiritual being, whatever that is, whatever it is that you define as a spiritual being in your life, to make sure that your heart is right, because my Bible tells me that what is coming is going to come, and there is nothing that we can do to stop it. We know the earth is dying. We see all these things happening around us. We see a crescendo of events happening worldwide right now, that it is not by accident. This crescendo of events that we see happening worldwide, we talk about all aspects of the world. The world is in a state of chaos like we've never seen before in human history. But I myself, I'm at peace because I know in my life what is coming. And all I can do right now is share my love with fellow human beings, and they can take and they can do with it whatever they want. But there is a mass majority of society that will never be awoke to what's coming. Our society is such a controlled pile of sheeple, and this didn't come by chance. This has been manipulated into society over the last 30, 40 years. We look at all aspects of control of society through monetary, through our health, through every aspect of society that the government has major control of our lives. They are funneling us in one direction. People here, sure, we understand, but a majority, unfortunately, of society are still in the matrix, are still living inside their bubble, and they won't wake up until the poop hits the fan. And then they'll wake, but at that point, it's going to be too late. So for myself, it's what's in my heart right now, how I see my life and what I can do right now to share that love that I feel for my human being inside me, and tell them that there is this stuff coming, but not to be in fear. Fear is a weapon that they just love to play on the human race. But I don't live in fear now. I live in total peace. I know that this stuff is coming, and if I die today, it's not dying to me, it's passing. And that's the way I look at my life, and that's, sure, we can try and change the things that we see, guys, but really, to me, it's going to play out the way my book tells me, and that's how I live my life, guys, period.
Well,
you just used a word I've never heard before in my life, but instantly I knew exactly what the word meant, and I love it. Sheeple.
Well, we are. You look at society, guys. Look at society. Look at our brains. Look what's going on in the United States of America. Look what's, how they're using mind control and on our health. Every aspect of our life is just totally in shambles. And it's not by accident. It's all by design to get society to a point where we find ourselves now that Americans have no guts. They have no brains. They're all following this agenda. They're being manipulated by forces they don't even identify with. And they don't identify the sources that are doing it. It's just, we're upside down, totally. So to change it, you're going to need a change in the human heart, man. Because our society is spiraling downwards, period. All aspects of society.
And that's not... And directs his soldiers, but you know, the dogs that keep the sheep in a group and guide them to where they want to go, they're sheeple. People today form a group and they follow their leader. Right or wrong, it doesn't make any difference.
They'll follow them to the death.
All right, so
you're absolutely right, Raven.
With that said, we're getting down to it again. I hate this part of the show because it always means that we're getting ready to close up shop for the day or whatever. But I want to go back and I want to read a comment that I made to Pastor Paul Begley. He's one of the YouTube guys I subscribe out there, because every time I see, you know, every show out there or whatever video, it's always urgent, apocalyptic, doomsday or whatever, you know. And so I'm trying to say, sure, I know the world's messed up. I know we got a lot of work cut out for us. But I wrote to Pastor Paul Begley, and I said, I didn't necessarily write it to him directly, but I did put it out there in the comment section. And this is what I said. I said, the prophets of doom say the world is coming to an end, but Jesus said these things. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he also said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So with all that said, the end will get here on God's time. So what people should be doing is fixing in this world what they can, and loving one another and living in faith and peace while leaving with that which we cannot control to the Lord who is in control. Jesus also said, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall do also, a greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whosoever ye shall ask in my name, that will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it for you. Ye love me and keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that may abide with you forever. So with that said, must everything be urgent, apocalyptic? Jesus did not say lay down to fear, doom, and gloom. Quite the opposite, actually. And what I was trying to convey with that to this particular pastor is the fact that you are supposedly a leader in a Christian church, all right, a servant to the church, and for continuously going out saying it's doom and gloom and we're all in trouble, you missed what Jesus sat there and told you about, you know, having faith. All right? Now, I don't expect everybody else out there to believe exactly the way that I believe. What I believe, you know, may be the wrong thing. I don't know. All I know is that none of us know when the end is coming. And none of us know whether or not our particular faiths are right or wrong. All we have is information passed down to each of us from generation to generation via wherever it came from or however it was written. That's neither here nor there in the deal. In reality, what we're facing right now is of an urgent matter. We've got issues that need to be resolved in the world. We don't see our leadership resolving these issues. We don't see the people out there recognizing that there even is a problem in some incidents. And we see that people in the world are still homeless. We see that people in the world are still starving. And there's sickness that just goes across the land in all different aspects. It's not just health-wise. Sometimes, mentally, you can be sicker than, you know, whatever. And we got to pull each other up out of that slump. If we truly are brothers and sisters of one another, and we truly are in the same boat together, and we're going over the falls in the barrel, and now it's just a matter of brace for impact because there ain't nothing we can do about it, then there ain't no point for all this. I believe that we do have something that we can do about it. I believe that's why we have connected with each other. I believe that's why we're doing this radio show right now. I believe that's why Thomas is here, why Charles is there, why Jermaine and Patty and Raymond and Barry and all the people in the chat room and everybody listening. I believe the reason why we're here is because the problem is urgent and we need to resolve it. And the only way to resolve it is to empower the individual to believe in themselves enough to stand up against what's wrong when it's wrong and do what is right when it's right. And I don't think it's going to take a violent overthrow of any government out there. I think it's going to be some common sense and some education and people working at a grassroots level and taking care of your neighbors and your friends and your family in the best manner that you can. Surely the world is a mess. And it didn't get this way overnight, and it won't get repaired overnight. But unless we're willing to speak the words that we speak, and even in some day, time down the line, we might be thrown in jail for our beliefs, for what we're trying to say to people, because the governments and the corporations don't like it when we talk about taking money out of their pockets. We got to keep going no matter what. If the world is all, if all hope is lost, Jesus said, lest these days be shortened, then these things must come to pass, which told me that there was something in what he said right there. He also said that if you had faith of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. You could say to that mountain, move, and that mountain would move. I want you guys and gals out there to understand, I'm not trying to force my beliefs on you. And none of these folks on this panel are trying to force their beliefs on you either. We just see that there are things in this world that can be resolved if people decide to take it upon themselves to get up off the couch and stop complaining about things, and instead of out there protesting save the trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign, use some common sense and go out and plant another tree or clean up your creeks or your neighborhoods and each other and help one another the best you possibly can. That's all you can ask for. If you've done the best job you can with your life, if you've been honest, truthful, and you've walked your life in the footsteps of love, there's nothing else that you could have done any better. That's all I'm saying. As for the prophets of doom out there, you're going to see them. You're going to hear them all the time. Doomsday's around the corner. We don't want you living your life in fear. We want you to step up to this platform we call the Knights of the Round Table. We want you to share your information and your resources and hope and love and dreams and aspirations with us. We even want to know your stories. Heck, I've told everybody, if you're a singer and you want your music to be heard, shoot me over a copy, you know? We'll put it out there so you can be heard. That's the whole point. The microphone doesn't belong to me. It belongs to us. This platform is a people platform, and it always will be as long as it's available here. I don't know what more to say than what we haven't already said in the over 400 and some odd shows that we've done on the Knights of the Round Table. There is a urgency. There's a lot that needs to be addressed. But we got young men and women coming up into a world that we don't want to leave behind the same mess that others might have left behind for us. We know the failures of the leadership. We know the failures of war. Peace has never came from the end of the barrel of a gun. It's never come from the end of a sword or a bomb. It's came from individuals like ourselves who finally get fed up and do the right thing. That's all we're asking. That's all anybody's asking. So with that said, it's time to go around the table and let everybody have their say. Let's start with the youngest crew here. I keep seeing Jermaine blink. He hasn't been in there yet. Jermaine, you got anything you want to tell everybody out there?
No, not really. Not at the moment.
Kind of overwhelmed by it all, huh?
Oh, yeah.
hey, we love the world and our brothers and sisters enough to at least do what we can talking about it and trying to give people ideas for solutions. That's, we're trying to make the world better for you, kid.
Yay.
I hope we succeed. So what about you, Charles? Did we lose Charles?
Well, I just wanted to let everybody know I got 56 flags from around the world, and it's counting. And this is to bring people together, you know, in a lot of ways of peace. And when we do meet with each other, there was a leader from one of the First Nations in Canada that actually stated they tried to take care of us for over 100 years, and the only one that can take care of us is us.
Yep,
it's,
I agree.
It's time to work together for the benefit of the whole system.
I agree. Thomas? Did we lose Thomas?
I had to unmute my mic. I'm only going to say one thing. The biggest change that any one individual can create is to bring an idea, and oftentimes the best ideas are technology, because they actually, people can see them working. They don't have to actually conceptualize it in their head. The MP3 revolutionized the music industry. So, you know, keep inventing and keep creating. Maybe you'll come up with that one thing that makes all weapons completely obsolete and all fighting obsolete.
I love it, man. Brilliant words of wisdom. What about you, Patty?
Well, I think that we need to concentrate on the great things that we have today. And we know all about the negative, and we know where it's going. You know, it's good to talk about it, but don't focus on it exclusively, because we have better things. We have options. We have so many options. This is a great time. I can't remember another time when we had so many solutions for each problem. There's not just one solution. There are hundreds of thousands of solutions, and they're all out there right now. So we have options. We are in a good position right now. We can do individually what we need to do to empower ourselves. And in doing that, we can then see, like Shaziz says, we throw that pebble in the pond, and it creates ripples that continue onward and onward and onward. What we're doing right now is the most important work that we'll ever do. Right now. And if we have this many solutions and these many options, then there's no reason why we can't. We just have to take that first step and forget it. Don't look back. There's nothing back there that can help you. Only what's within you and the solutions that you can put in place. That's what's going to help you. Concentrate on that. It's a good time. It's an awesome time to shine right now.
I agree. I say, you know, if you can sing like an angel, now's the time to stand up and sing. You know, that's, we're standing at a crossroads right now. We could either follow the past mistakes, or we can go across and take advantage of that new sunrise every day to literally make the world a better place. One person at a time, one positive pebble, one good idea, and so on. You know, we can do this thing. I'm telling you, we can do this. So what about you, Raymond?
You know, it's been said that the longest journey starts with a single step. Well, we've been here talking positive thinking and trying to get people to do things. The easiest and a single step that we could possibly do is, you. The last count you told me was over 9 million listeners. We've also all agreed that a smile creates a positive attitude, and it is also contagious. And as I said last week, I'm asking our listeners to smile to people who don't even know. You'd be amazed at the difference you would make in that person's life. Now, it's possible, to smile at more than two people a day that you don't even know. And they will smile back, 9 out of 10 or more.
Yeah.
The thing is, you will, it's another pebble, like Shazam says and Patty, it's just another positive pebble in the pond.
And wouldn't it be amazing?
9 billion people smiling at 5 different unknown people per day. Those unknown people, 2 of them, it will change their attitude to where they will smile at 5 or 6 more people that they don't know. How long would it take to get the entire world smiling?
And wouldn't it be amazing?
Catastrophic. I mean, I'm saying in less than a week, maybe 10 days, everyone in the whole world would be smiling at people they don't know.
Yeah.
When someone asks you, what are you smiling at? Well, I'm alive. My life is not perfect. And as long as I'm alive, I have a chance of shaking you.
Yeah, I agree. And wouldn't it be amazing to follow that smile from your face to see how far it actually travels?
Trust me, it wouldn't take long for it to come back. Please, folks, I'm desperate. All of the listeners, to please, today, tomorrow, every day, for the rest of your life, just out of the clear blue, when you're walking into or out of the grocery store, you pass someone, smile at them. Just smile. That's all you got to do. Change their life and your own. Trust me.
I agree. How about you, Barry?
Well, hey, you know, Raymond, you are 100% correct, because I do that every day of my life. I say hello, and total strangers, I'll say good day to them, how are your days going? And I say that to people I've never met before in my life, and you would not believe the area or the opportunities you have to start conversations with total strangers simply by smiling and saying hello. And that smile, it comes from within me. It's not false. It's the way I look at my fellow man right now. Anytime I can get an opportunity to start a conversation with anybody, I am going to take that opportunity. And for me, guys, I'm going to reiterate on what I said earlier, my closing thoughts. In my life right now, to me, the most important thing in my life is my connection to Jesus Christ and how I live my life, because I really have to live my life by what He has told me through hundreds of prophecies, through thousands of years in the Bible, about the correlation of events that we now see unfolding on our planet that are undeniable, that aren't a coincidence, they are a correlation event. And what the Bible did and what Jesus did was give us these events to give us an idea of the time of His return. Like Shazam says, nobody knows when He's coming back. But He is giving us indications, He is giving us messages every day of our lives. Whether we choose to see them or not, that's up to the individual. But He is pointing out all kinds of prophecies right now that are unfolding in front of our face, and they're undeniable in my life. And so that's what I'm living my life by, guys. And I hope that maybe we can get a change in the human heart. Because if we don't change the human heart, we will continue to go down the road that I know is coming.
Yeah.
My thoughts for today.
That's brilliant, and I agree, man. There's this look, folks. I'm just trying to tell you that we're just trying to do the best we can with what we got to work with. We got this platform, which in my mind is a blessing. It really, honestly is. We're standing at a crossroad right now, and if we'd be standing at this crossroad and we didn't have the option of what we got right now to talk to as many people as we talk to, then, you know, I could say that at that point in the game, maybe all hope would be lost. But as long as we can reach the hearts and minds of all the people out there and get them to understand that there are other options than what you're having to contend with right now, that there are solutions to problems in the world, and that if we can come together, that we can resolve a lot of issues. Someday, I believe our Lord will show back up on this earth. And I believe that things will change drastically in that, you know, in a biblical sense. But until now,
what is the mathematical equivalent of 9 billion to the power of 10? I think it's about 3 times the population of the earth.
I have no idea, but even if you can reach one person out there, even if you can change the mind or heart of one person and they go out and do the same thing, it's that pay it forward thing that we used to talk about so many times. You help your neighbor out.
Start our journey. One night at a round table, has talked about this journey for several years. The journey is to get them to change the attitude of the people of the earth so they come together. And we got to start this journey with a single step, and that step is a smile. Please, listeners, all of you, start doing that.
Yeah, if you smile on your neighbor and you smile on your brothers and sisters, and you know, things come back to you. No matter which direction you send them, they're going to negative breeds negative, positive breeds positive, whatever, however you want to look at it. Nonetheless, in order to resolve all the issues of the world, we got to take the prophets of doom with a grain of salt.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How do you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't...
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We use routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We're off so bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shaziz the Terror. Always looking to Zeus the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.